Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Roads east of Highway 1. Call to find out more, 277-0544. Thank you for giving me part of your day. And remember, we change tomorrow by changing today. And we have to, because tomorrow really matters. So tell a friend and stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
We're pushing it as fast as we can to try to get answers.
Dr. David Acheson at the Food and Drug Administration says their investigators have been trying to track the salmonella contamination of tomatoes for several weeks.
The goal is obviously to try to pinpoint the source. Initially, the growing area, a growing region where they came from, and then as we pursue this back, hopefully right back to the farm so we can, very importantly, figure out what went wrong and where it went wrong.
There is a growing list of states whose current tomato crops, at least, are considered safe. That list is at FDA.gov. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
It's still not sure where those tomatoes are coming from. As quickly as it can, the agency says it is ruling out different states, different countries where it knows the tomatoes did not originate. But tomatoes from Mexico, for example, which is a huge supplier to this country, have not been put on that safe list
yet. And Mexico has voluntarily stopped shipments of tomatoes for now. The Mississippi River is going to be shut down on Thursday. A long stretch, about 250 miles, won't be usable because of floods, says Ron Fournier at the Corps of Engineers.
We're going to be closing down locks from Lock 16 up in Muscatine, Iowa, all the way down to right above St. Louis. That's going to shut the river down to commercial navigation, so they're not going to be able to go north and south on the river for about 2 weeks, maybe even longer.
The high water can damage the lock machinery. It means barges loaded with grain, coal, steel, fertilizer, and other products will have to ship overland. The debate over taxes in the campaign for president.
You're going to have a clear choice in November.
Taxes are shaping up again as a big campaign issue. John McCain spoke at a small business summit in Washington.
Under Senator Obama's tax plan, Americans of every background would see their taxes rise. Seniors, parents, small business owners.
Barack Obama faced reporters in St. Louis.
My tax plan will cut taxes for 95% of workers because we need to put money back into the pockets of struggling middle-class families.
You've got 5 months to figure out which plan is better. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
To bring down fuel prices, Democrats who sponsored the bill said tax the oil companies. Bernie Sanders of Vermont.
Do we need a windfall profits tax? You bet we do.
Or let them avoid the tax by putting the money into alternative energy research. The Republican filibuster held. The bill is dead. Kentucky's Mitch McConnell.
More taxes mean higher prices.
More drilling, he says, could bring prices down quicker. Oil today was down another $2.76 a barrel, $131.58. Jurors are supposed to be focused on the task at hand. Focusing on Sudoku does not count. A drug conspiracy trial was halted in Sydney, Australia, because the judge realized four or five of the jurors, including the foreman, were solving Sudoku puzzles during testimony. It's a mistrial. Wall Street pretty flat today. The Dow gained more than 9. The Nasdaq lost 10.5. This is CBS News.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Ha! Look at that!
What?
The Nuvi. This is precisely why I subscribed to MSN Direct when I bought this Garmin Nuvi 780.
What is it?
A traffic backup right there on our route.
What do we do?
We avoid it.
How?
The Nuvi simply directs us to the best alternate route, huh?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
To receive MSN direct traffic content, you must be within its coverage area. For details, navigate to Garmin.com. Follow the leader.
Gas lines are back, but unlike the oil shortage of 1975, this time the lines are forming at gas stations with the best prices.
Police in Southern California have arrested a man who allegedly grabbed a crowbar and threatened a driver who cut in front of him while waiting in line to fuel up at a Costco gas station.
Gas prices going up so much, and people are losing their tempers.
Dr. Antonio Reyes claims the other driver threatened him and says he grabbed the crowbar for protection but never intended to use it. Claudia Pescuta, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Got to do what you can to make a buck these days, perhaps, and two of former President Bill Clinton's alleged liaisons are going public. Jennifer Flowers and Paula Jones say they'll give all the lurid details of their encounters with Mr. Clinton for $1.99 a pop online. Website offers salacious videos of the two women. Flowers and Jones say, unlike Monica Lewinsky, they didn't make it into the president's museum. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Paper towels, rock salt.
Most people don't know what's in CSX freight trains, so we made a list.
Shoes, steel rivets.
CSX trains move over a million tons of freight every day.
Wheat, refrigerators, orange juice, hybrid cars, lumber.
Are we almost done?
Not even close, my friend. Jogging shorts, mustard.
Let's just say if it's in your life, it's probably on our trains. Go to CSX.com to learn more. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
With extra tax rebates from Uncle Sam, now is the perfect time to reinvest in your home. And Ace can help with easy, affordable home improvement projects that will look great and add value, like painting. We can show you smart, simple ways to save time and money, giving your biggest investment a fresh new look. Or add to your curb appeal with lawn and garden supplies that'll get the job done right. For expert help and friendly advice, get to Ace, the helpful place. Find your local Ace at acehardware.com.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, a powerful antidote and elixir for the toxins of right-wing talk radio. Your humble host is on vacation. You can call in a regular toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. So pick up the phone and show some love from the left coast for the man from BradBlog.com, Brad Friedman.
The following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption by State Farm.
Yes, you are. Am I gonna love it? That's the question.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it never is.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs.
Stairs?
Clowns to the left of me. Jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yes, here I am.
Yes, I'm stuck in the middle.
Stuck in the middle with you once again. Live from Los Angeles, sitting in for my good friend Peter B. Collins. I am, as he said, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, sitting in while Peter is enjoying himself in Cincinnati, Ohio. That's some kind of busman's holiday, isn't it? Huge, huge show for you today, and if you were listening yesterday, we had some technical kinks, which we think we've got worked out. Thanks to the folks at Diebold, who make all of our radio equipment here. What could possibly go wrong? Coming up very shortly, we're going to have Ron Prentice of the Protect Marriage Coalition to talk about, yes, another ballot initiative for a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage here in California. Folks may know that the Supreme Court, the Republican majority Supreme Court, recently gave the okay for marriage equality in the Golden State, but no. Not good enough for these folks who are against it, and they've got their initiative, which is going to be on the November ballot to change the state constitution. We're going to talk about that with Ron Prentice, one of the big supporters of that. We will take your calls. As well today at 888-5-PETER-B. We're up and down the left coast. We're out in Wyoming. We are coast to coast and around the globe on the internets at peterbcollins.com. And we are open chatting, open threading live at the Brad Blog. Bradblog.com. Stop on by. Agent 99 will be your friendly host today. A little bit later, we'll have green news with our own Desi Doyen, daily voting news, of course, with John Gideon of VotersUnite.org, and Greg Mitchell from Editor and Publisher. He'll be joining us to talk about his new book, So Wrong for So Long. Also, Jason Leopold of Public Record will be joining us to talk about Scott McClellan, Jack Abramoff, and all sorts of accountability issues. You remember that word. And speaking of accountability, as we were in our final hour yesterday, Dennis Kucinich brought forward 35 articles of impeachment for George W. Bush in Congress. He read all 35 of them. Took about 5 hours last night on the floor of the House. He finished up just before midnight. And I should, by way of full disclosure here, I should note that I was asked to consult and give some material, if you will, to Congressman Kucinich on those articles of impeachment some months ago, including articles that have to do with tampering with elections and violations of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. I am proud, couldn't be prouder, in fact, to have taken part in that, and most of what I gave to him seemed to show up as is, as I sent it to him, and I was delighted to hear that folks like Thor Hearn of the American Center for Voting Rights, one of the Republican bad guys, one of the voter fraud zealots who's been pushing these disenfranchising photo ID laws all around the country, it was nice to hear him given the recognition that he deserved on the floor of Congress, that recognition being that he took part in this scheme that is definitely worthy of impeachment. Unfortunately, Kucinich was the only one who sponsored that article, those articles of impeachment for the time being. We've got news today, however, that Robert Wexler of Florida, who, by the way, ought to be the vice presidential candidate with Barack Obama. That's just me. Anyway, he also has signed on to the impeachment resolution, I'm happy to say. He put out a press release today saying a decision by Congress to pursue impeachment is not an option. It is a sworn duty. It is time for Congress to stand up and defend the Constitution against the blatant violations and illegalities of this administration. Our founding fathers bestowed upon Congress the power of impeachment, and it is now time that we use it to defend the rule of law from this corrupt administration. I concur, Mr. Wexler, I concur with Dennis Kucinich. These articles, when you hear them read, all 5 hours of them, were just extraordinary. To hear the crimes, the high crimes and misdemeanors of this administration put together into one place, read over 5 hours, they were simply stunning. We have a link to the full articles of impeachment over at bradblog.com, of course, if you want to check them out. Where is the rest of the Congress? That's the question. Will they show up and do their duty? Which, by the way, I consider to be not just a constitutional duty, but therefore a conservative duty. No, not a liberal one. No, not a left-wing one. Not an extremist one. A conservative duty to the Constitution. So, keep that in mind when you read about this in the media. Of course, you may not read about this in the media because it's certainly not getting much coverage. When they do, I'm sure they'll paint it as a far-left, crazy, kook, liberal, left-wing Dennis Kucinich. No, it's very conservative, as will be, and we'll talk about this with Ron Prentice in a few minutes, this business about marriage equality out here in California. I believe that, too, is a conservative issue. In other words, it follows the Constitution. There's a rich idea. Our friend Phil, who we hope is up there listening in Sacramento today, he wrote yesterday on our blog in comments in the discussion about where do these impeachment articles go from here. Phil wrote, to everyone that doesn't know what to do next, you need to look inside yourselves and ask yourself, do you believe in the United States Constitution and freedom or don't you? This is where you will find your answer, writes Phil. Don't be swayed by anyone saying this will amount to nothing. Stop being a child, think for yourselves, grow up and see the corruption and do something about it. Do you want to live free or do you want the same old crap to drudge on? Drudge on. Well done, Phil. Don't even be swayed by me, he says. You got to decide yourselves, freedom or same old stuff. I had to change the word there. Freedom or same old stuff. Screw what everyone says. Answer that to your own heart and mind, then grow some balls of steel. Kucinich has. I concur, Phil. Smartly done, smartly writ. And let's see if the rule of law rears its, I was going to say ugly head, but rears its head any time during this entire administration. We've got just a few months left, and the important thing here is, and I've heard from folks saying, oh, we can't do impeachment, they've got an election in 7 months. Of course, they were saying that 2 years ago when the Democrats came in the first place. Oh, we've got to worry about our election. I'm not worried about the election, so to speak. I am worried about the Constitution. I am worried about this country. I am worried about the next president, whoever that may be, or the one after that, or the one after that, taking a look back at what has happened in the years 2000 to 2008, seeing a president who got away with everything. And the criminal actions are astounding. If you read these impeachment articles, you will see they are simply remarkable. And he will have gotten away with them unless someone stands out and does something, stands up and does bring some accountability here. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm interested in. Otherwise, the bar will be forever lowered, and good luck ever bringing accountability for a president, unless, of course, they have sex with someone. And that, of course, we all know is a criminal impeachable offense. Anyway, all right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back with Ron Prentice, our first guest this afternoon. And, of course, we'd like to hear from you on same-sex marriage. In favor of it? Against it? Let's hear from you. Either way, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Glad you're listening. Glad to be here. I'm Brad Friedman on the Peter B. Collins Show. More, much more, right after this.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell, putting the service back in service stations.
Socolo Restaurant in Pacific Grove is the place to go when you're looking for ultra-authentic Mexican food. From our handmade tortillas to our delicious Angus skirt steak, Socolo does it right. You won't find canned tomatoes, frozen meat, or pre-made items at Socolo. Everything is made here. We proudly use only Angus beef. Some of our specialty items include pozole, chicken mole, handmade sopes, and the only handmade flour tortilla on the peninsula. We feature seafood items like wild salmon, ceviche, and numerous shrimp and fish dishes. If you're looking for fresh and authentic Mexican food, Socolo is the place to go. Socolo is located at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number is 373-7911. Catering and food to go is also available. Socolo Restaurant at 162 Fountain Avenue, Pacific Grove is the place to go for quality, authentic Mexican food. Call 373-7911 for takeout or reservations. Socolo will also be opening soon in downtown Salinas. Look for us.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
When the wintry winds start blowing and the snow is starting to fall,
sing it out.
My eyes turn westward, knowing that's the place that I love best of all. California, I've been blue since I've been away from you. I can't wait till I get going. Even now, I'm starting in a call.
Give it to us, Al.
California, here I come. Right back where I started from.
All right, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. And yes, thank you, Mr. Jolson. We're about to talk about California's upcoming, what do they call it? California Marriage Protection Act, which will be on the November ballot this November. As you may know, the Republican Majority Supreme Court recently found that the law, that the statute that was passed against same-sex marriage was unconstitutional. And so comes now this gay marriage, this move to ban gay marriage at the constitutional level. The California Constitution will be amended if this initiative passes to read that only marriage between a man and a woman is valid or recognized in California. One of the folks behind that Protect Marriage initiative is a fellow by the name of Ron Prentice. He joins us now. He's the CEO of the California Family Council, part of the Protect Marriage Coalition, and we are delighted to have you, sir, to talk about this this new initiative that will be on the November ballot. Welcome, Mr. Prentice.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Glad to be here.
Let's start. There's so much I want to talk to you about on this, and I'm hoping you can give us, well, as much time as possible here, because first off, I have, as you may guess, I have concerns about this initiative, the reasons for this initiative, but really, one of the main reasons is because I think that what they found, what the California Supreme Court found was actually a rather conservative decision, that in fact there is nothing in our Constitution here in California that disallows same-sex marriage. And I have to presume that with you bringing a constitutional amendment to make that change, then you would agree with that. Am I correct in that assessment?
Well, we would agree with protecting the definition as it presently exists, which has been in place not only within the state, but over the course of centuries, what marriage was intended to be between a man and a woman for the raising up of a family. And so this amendment is nothing more than strengthening the existing law by placing it into the Constitution of the state.
And does the law, actually, that definition you talk about, is that anywhere in the law or the Constitution that marriage is to between a man and a woman and to bring up children, as you suggest?
Well, that language is the exact same language that 61.5% of California voters approved 8 years ago with Proposition 22. That is the language of Proposition 22.
And was that the law that was then found unconstitutional recently by the Supreme Court?
That was the law that was overturned by the Supreme Court based on recent legislative activity and based on identifying sexual orientation as the same as race and gender. So both of those are certainly questionable decisions, and it completely overrules the will of the people. By referring to the legislature as having higher authority, they really have overlooked existing law. It should be an initiative, the will of the people, that has higher standing than legislature.
I see. Okay. And nonetheless, you bring this amendment, this constitutional amendment. I'm going to, correct me again if I'm wrong here, but in bringing a constitutional amendment, this is a recognition that such a constitutional amendment would be needed, because otherwise same-sex marriage would be allowed according to the legislature, the courts, the Constitution as it's currently written, no?
Right, absolutely right. We align with the majority of California voters, as I said, who approved Proposition 22, and because both the legislature and the courts have now decided that the will of the people is less important than their own perspective, we fortunately have the foresight to move forward with this, so that shortly after the Supreme Court makes its decision, or has made its decision, now the people have an opportunity once again to vote and to strengthen the law by placing it into the Constitution itself.
And if they vote against that constitutional amendment, will that be that? And will you guys end up recognizing, as you say, the will of the people if they turn
this? Absolutely. Sure.
And
we're talking about the democratic process and how it's been neglected or negated. And so we're once again just attempting to make sure that the people have an opportunity to speak.
And speaking of the people, they recently, a poll came out, I think, last week for the first time in the history of the state, found that 51% of Californians are actually in favor. I realize it's sort of within the margin of error, but it's still, we're seeing a majority there who are now in favor of same-sex marriage here in California. Does that not reflect the will of the people as well?
Well, it's not uncommon that in interviews that particular poll is brought up that suggested that 51% of the people actually favor same-sex marriage now. But at the same time that the field poll came out, the one you're referring to, several others came out, which once again showed that the people of the state favor the protection of the existing law, marriage only between a man and a woman. That came out from Survey USA research. It came out through an LA Times article research. And it came out through a CC advertising firm based in Virginia that did and found those numbers to be 53%, 54%, and even 56% of Californians favor the protection of the existing definition of marriage.
And is not our Constitution, both the state and actually, now I'm coming up against the break. Will you be able to stick around with us beyond the break a bit? Okay. The Constitution is meant to protect rights. And the question came up, I think it was actually on Bill O'Reilly on Fox News of all places, is it right to use the law, use the ballot booth to protect rights when you've got constitutions that are meant to protect the minority against the majority? Doesn't thinking this way and writing such a restriction into the Constitution sort of go against that thinking? And I've only got 15 seconds. We can answer it after the commercial in more detail, of course.
Well, either direction you go, someone's rights will be hindered or offended. And so we're talking about the democratic process of speaking loudly.
Fair enough. We're going to take speak much more with Ron Prentice after this break. We'll take your calls at 888-5-PETER-B. Thanks for hanging in there with me, Ron. I'm Brad Friedman, in for Peter B. Collins. We're back after this break. Stay with us.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. This is Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. For the last 5 years now, the auditing, tax consulting, and financial advising firm of Deloitte and Touche, together with Junior Achievement, have done a national survey of teenagers to find out whether they feel prepared to make ethical decisions when they enter the workforce. And the results have been somewhat disturbing.
71% feel that they're ethically prepared to make decisions, but a third of those believe that even though they think they're ethically prepared to make decisions, it's necessary sometimes to break the rules and cheat, steal, or behave violently.
More about the survey from Einar Ehler, who has been global managing partner at Deloitte & Touche and chairman of Junior Achievement Worldwide, after this.
Hi, I'm Bob, and around here, I'm kind of a superhero. I can be anywhere in the world in seconds, do amazing things in the blink of an eye. My superpower? WebEx. WebEx gives me the power to meet and share presentations with anyone, anywhere, without leaving my office. I just talk with clients on the phone, and they can see what's on my PC screen from their PC screen. So, we're always on the same page. WebEx is now part of Cisco and used by more than 5 million people every month. Now you can try WebEx free and get a free webcam. Go to WebEx.com, click the radio icon, and enter today to get a free trial and be eligible for the free webcam. That's WebEx, WebEx.com. Click the radio icon and enter today.
Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Take it from me. You don't need a cape to be a superhero. Just WebEx. That's WebEx. WebEx.com.
There's always pressure to succeed at work as there is at school, and the polls suggest many American teens are willing to cheat if that's what it takes to succeed.
For those that think that cheating is acceptable sometimes, 54% think a personal desire to succeed in school is justification. That number goes up to 66% if they're feeling overwhelming pressure to succeed.
Does that bother you? It bothers me. It bothers David Miller, ethics professor at Yale. He says it suggests an attitude of ethical relativism and rationalization of whatever actions serve one's immediate needs and purposes. When it comes to violence, there's little comfort about that in the survey either.
77% feel that it's okay to behave violently to defend themselves, 27% to settle an argument, 20% for revenge.
What are today's teenagers' impressions about the ethical role models of the grown-up world of today? Mr. Ehler.
64% think that politicians are unethical, and professional athletes, 41%.
Ehler himself finds all of this quite disturbing.
These are the future leaders of our country. I mean, these are the people that are going to be future parents, they're going to be future employees, running companies, in politics.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. While your humble host is on vacation, here's Brad Friedman from bradblog.com.
Go into the chapel and we're gonna get married. Go into the chapel and we're gonna get married.
Welcome back. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com in for Peter B. Collins today. You can join our online chat at bradblog.com. go to the top item there, hit comments, and say your piece. Or give us a call at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We're speaking with Ron Prentice, CEO of the California Family Council. You can get more information on them at californiafamily.org. He is a proponent of the California Marriage Protection Act, a constitutional amendment that will ban same-sex marriage. Will be on the ballot this November. You can get more information on that at protectmarriage.com. All right, Ron. Before the break, I was talking about the fact that the Constitution, both the state and the federal, is generally meant to protect rights. Protect the rights of the minority over the majority. If we use the ballot box to determine everything, I think it was actually, I want to say O'Reilly, I'm not sure, but they had talked about this, and they said that if we had used the ballot box to determine what the majority wants in every case, we'd still have slavery in this country. Any thoughts on that?
Well, in this case, we're just using California law, and that means the tool of the initiative, the people's initiative to move forward to really identify and define what it is that society desires in terms of identifying what's right and what's the will of the people. And in this case, as I've said, over the course of centuries, thousands of years, people have not only identified as a husband and a wife, excuse me, a male and a female as husband and wife in marriage, but governments have then adopted that.
Well,
for good reason.
60 years ago.
The reason of the promotion of family and generational well-being in a society.
Well,
that's the purpose of marriage.
60 years ago, of course, California had to decide something similar when they had to decide whether interracial couples were allowed to be married. And, of course, if you use your definition of traditional marriage, at that same point, they should have disallowed marriage between races. How is this any different? And when you talk about marriage as something for a man and a woman to raise children, what about those folks who are who can't have children for whatever reason? Does that make a difference?
Doesn't make a difference in terms of why we define marriage the way we do. It's an institution that's adopted for the purpose of that. Not everyone abides by that or chooses to have children, but the reality is the institution of marriage exists for that primary reason in society or has been adopted in society for those purposes. Once again, generational well-being in society.
Well, again, though, those, you know, going back to the same arguments of tradition and so forth that were made 60 years ago, how is that any different when they were deciding the case of interracial marriage than deciding same-sex marriage now? Or is there a difference?
Those of us who look back and see that interracial marriage had nothing to do with the benefit towards society, we can understand why the court might have ruled in that direction.
What is the benefit?
But in this case, you're talking about equating sexual orientation as the same as race, and there's a major difference in that. There's a major difference in that physiologically, biologically, and the two are really two very separate issues, and the court has chosen not to see it that way. Mm. But
what is the difference?
Well, I can only report on a case that is taking place in Georgia right now where an African-American woman who was an assistant professor at a university, chose to identify the differences between race and sexual orientation and was then fired by the university. But part of her essay or her article in the local paper said, "All I know is this, I go to bed a black woman, I wake up a black woman, and there are thousands of people every year who choose to walk away from the homosexual sexual orientation." So it's not immutable, it's changeable.
Well,
plenty of social science that points to that, and no social science that points away from that.
So, well, there's hundreds of people who walk away from the heterosexual lifestyle as well and become, go into the homosexual lifestyle.
Yeah.
I don't know
right
that that's
back,
a choice.
Go right back to what's the definition, what's the purpose of marriage in society. Once again,
I'm still having a difficult time, Ron, trying to understand what you're saying. How is an interracial marriage different from a same-sex marriage in that regard? I'm not sure I see the difference And it
I've done my best to describe why a court might rule in an interracial marriage. But in this case, there's...
Setting aside the courts, I'm asking you, what is that difference if people were against that because of tradition?
The difference is kids need a mom and a dad.
So you would also be against...
Absolutely. You know, there's a complementarity within the home with a mom and a dad.
Would you be against, therefore...
That's what children need, and that's the best model. And to go away from that is really contrary to what's best for children.
Adoption of bilegal couples is already legal. So how does allowing for same-sex marriage equality change that equation?
Nothing changes the equation of what's best for kids. Nothing changes. Maybe the California law has chosen to do that. Florida law has chosen not to do that. Numerous other states have chosen not to allow for same-sex adoptions. This case, we have that as an example in California, but that doesn't by any means mean that it's the best opportunity for children to be raised in that environment. And that's why, once again, marriage is only between a man and a woman is deemed best for the raising of children and, again, societal benefits.
All right, let's see if anyone else can help either you or me out here to try to communicate on this and figure out where we're not connecting. Brian from Pacific Grove has a question. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Brian?
Hi, I just had a question for your guest.
Go ahead.
I heard some talk about the sole societal benefit of marriage being that, it's helpful in the raising of children. But isn't it a benefit on society as well to have people in long-lasting, committed relationships? Like, wouldn't there be some social benefit to the fidelity that's involved in marriages? Like, especially with just AIDS being an issue and... I just see, more greater good coming out of marriage than just children, like it providing, stability and for folks. And
thanks for
that. Wanted to know what your guests have to say about that.
Thanks for that question, Brian. Ron Prentice, a lot of folks have, spoken for years about the gay lifestyle, that they didn't stay with partners. Here you have people who want to commit to each other forever, presumably. You folks seem to be against that idea. What are your thoughts on that?
Most people don't even realize that in California there is a registry for domestic partnerships and that every right and responsibility and privilege that is given to married couples, men and women, are now also given in California to same-sex couples through domestic partnerships.
Not every right, sir.
In this case, we refer, every right in California. In this case, we refer to the unique and distinct relationship between a man and a woman and the making of a home for children, not only one generation, but multiple generations.
Well, not every right, though. For example, not the right to say that you're married. And, there is something to that. For example, I live with my girlfriend. My parents would be delighted if I got married. There is a difference between saying you're married and simply living together. When it comes to long-term relationships, then you're not against same-sex couples living together, right?
Well, that's not the issue at hand. The issue at hand is really what is the purpose of marriage and why should a society, as many have done and continue to do, continue to define it as only between a man and woman. What is the effect of choosing to broaden that? There are numerous negative effects. If we go to 9 countries in Europe that have chosen to legalize same-sex marriage, what takes place? Marriage as an institution has weakened, and less marriages take place between men and women, and more children are born out of wedlock. And so the legacy and the heritage of family in general affects society negatively by the weakening of the definition of marriage.
You're saying that in those European countries, they can tie specifically, I mean, because everywhere around the world, there's more and more out-of-wedlock marriages and divorces and so forth. You're saying that these studies that you have actually tie fewer marriages to same-sex marriage laws being passed in those countries?
Yeah, it certainly wouldn't be coincidence. Anyone who knows anything about social research would know that the timing of these laws figures into the rate of out-of-wedlock birth.
All right. I'd love to see what those studies are. Let's check in with Greg in Salinas. Greg, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you have a question for Ron Prentice?
Yeah, I just wanted to know why. I mean, he had made a comment that, the sanctity of marriage is between man and a woman, right? And so that he said that, his argument against it at one point was that a man and a man or a woman shouldn't be together because it's not beneficial to the next generation of children. And, I've got multiple friends who never knew their fathers, who just took off, that are heterosexual people. And, it just, we're talking about humanity here, and civil rights. We're not talking about, this, it's almost like there's a religious connotation to this. And I think it should be completely separate.
Thanks for the call, Greg. Thoughts, Ron?
Well, obviously I disagree. We are talking about humanity here. In particular, I'm talking about children. And, yes, we do know of many marriages that dissolve and children that get hurt in that. Why do we want to legalize that aspect becoming more and more available so that children are hurt from that?
Once again,
kids need a mom and a dad.
So your contention then is that more people will split up and become gay married if same-sex marriage is allowed. They'll actually get divorced from their heterosexual marriages and marry a same-sex partner?
No, the caller referred to kids that are hurt or wounded because dads are gone from the home.
Right.
Why do we want to make legal and intentional the absence of a father from the home?
That's already legal, but how does same-sex marriage keep fathers out of the home? I'm confused.
Well, I don't know what's confusing about the fact that same-sex marriage has only one gender as the parent, and I've referred to the complementarity of the role of a mom and a dad, male and a female, in the home. What is confusing to you about that?
Well, because it sounds like you're talking about same-sex adoption issues. That's already allowed, and I'm not sure how that has anything to do with same-sex marriage when we have marriages that don't have children, and we have children that are either born into homes or adopted by homes that have nothing to do with marriage. I assume you wouldn't want a child to go as an orphan. You would prefer, rather than be an orphan, that they actually are adopted by a same-sex couple. That would certainly be preferable to having no parents at all, correct?
You're consistently referring to the exception to the rule versus why we create the norms, why government has chosen to accept a particular institution as unique and distinct for the benefit of families, and again, multiple generations.
Okay, we're speaking with Ron Prentice from CaliforniaFamily.org and ProtectMarriage.com about the Constitutional Marriage Protection Act that's going to be on the November ballot. Karen from hang in there, Karen. We're going to have to take a quick break. We're going to come back with more with Ron Prentice. You're listening to Brad Friedman sitting in for Peter B. Collins on The Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Fritti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood, pasta, and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Fritti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Fritti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to FrittiDiMarGrill.com or call 384-8525.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
All right, Brad Friedman sitting in for PBC today. We're speaking with Ron Prentice, CEO of the California Family Council, a partner in the Protect Marriage Coalition. They've got a ballot initiative on the ballot this November, the California Marriage Protection Act, which would change the California Constitution to require that only marriage between a man and a woman is valid or recognized in the state of California. And, Ron, appreciate you hanging in here with us and taking some of these tough questions. Going to get right to a caller here, Karen in Sacramento. You have a question for Ron Prentice.
Yeah, briefly, my background goes back to my ancestry goes back to right when the Mayflower came over. So my ancestors fought hard for this constitution. And then additionally, I have a background as a natural sciences where I study geology, paleontology, biology. It's just my understanding that when I, you know, hear about the gay population, I just automatically think of all the different species that have morphed and lived on the planet. And if they're a recessive gene, why can't we just be at peace with that? If you believe God created the world, then God created gay people.
Fair enough. Thanks, Karen. And by the way, you can give us a call at 888-5-PETER-B. We've got just a few minutes, a few more minutes this hour. We have time to fit in another call or two. Ron, any thoughts on that? All sorts of species have recessive genes, have gay creatures. How is that not God's wishes?
Well, what we know, once again, is what we're talking about here is what is best for this society. And for what purpose would a government choose to adopt any particular systematic understanding for the purpose of marriage? But we're not talking about recessive genes. I mean, we could spend 2 hours on that alone in terms of whether or not there's really any biological evidence here. But what we're talking about today and what this does, you say it changes the Constitution. It essentially strengthens California law that's already in place.
But found unconstitutional. I have to clarify that, correct?
Well, yeah, but I would encourage you to actually read the decision, because the decision does not refer to the Constitution. So when judges choose to use that term, do your homework and identify whether or not what they're referring to is truly constitutional. By identifying sexual orientation as the same as race and gender, there's nothing within the Constitution about that. By referring to the legislative process in the past few years that completely overlooks the vote of the people and the democratic process, that once again goes contrary to the Constitution.
Well, but so I think that the rules in the Constitution...
It's more a catchphrase than anything when you refer to something, or this in particular, as unconstitutional. It's not
well, reality. There are no... Does not the Constitution demand that there are equal rights to all, and is there any other restriction like this that is written into the Constitution?
And then we move into various states, that 27 thus far, that have placed into their Constitution their desire for marriage to be defined.
Ron, is there any other similar restriction, not a guarantee of a right, but a restriction that's written into the California Constitution? You know it better than I.
Well, we move forward with the understanding of how far-reaching do rights go. And in this case, do we refer to the individual rights of people, or do we refer to the normative understanding of a unique institution for the benefit, long-term benefit, of society adopted by government?
Only I'm coming up against the back of the hour here, so I'm going to take that as a no. We have no similar restrictions built into the Constitution, which is usually reserved for rights. Let me start getting a couple callers here when we only have a minute or two left here. Steve in Salinas. Oh, Steve.
Hey. Well,
hey, Steve,
number one, I definitely challenge this guy about how the European studies show that same-sex marriages weaken marriage between heterosexuals. That is complete double talk. But I know we don't have much.
Where's your research?
But this is what I got. Who cares? There's so many divorces in our country today. If you've got two people that want to raise a kid, God bless them. And I think you ought to spend, if you've got all this energy and trying to do the better for mankind, why don't you spend it on something that's a little bit more reasonable and fulfilling, like, you know, working in a homeless shelter or raising money for some poor kids or something like that.
Thanks, Steve.
I mean, this is nothing but negativity, and it's some religious kind of a deal.
Steve, I'm gonna cut you off just because we're coming up to the back of the hour, and I want to get one more caller in here. Richard from Fortuna. Real quickly, Richard, what do you got? Richard on line one. All right. Let's try Brian on three.
Hi.
Hey, is that Brian?
Here's my question.
Real quickly, sir.
Would this fellow work real hard to make sure that people like John McCain and his wife don't get married? They're not producing. I don't think Barbara Liddy Dole has produced any kids. So if he's not a homophobe, he needs to attack these things.
Thanks for that call, Brian. Any response to that? In fact, John McCain and his wife do not have children. They adopted, and he asked, would you work against them getting married, Mr. Prentice?
Once again, I think the caller heard me clearly. That's kind of an irrational argument. The issue here, pardon my repetition, but the issue here is what has been successful across the ages. And what are we attempting to keep in place? And success has clearly been shown, identified, and chosen by numerous societies and brought into government laws because of its success. And we're talking about sustaining it, not broadening it or weakening it.
All right, we're starting to lose your signal there. I'm not sure with the divorce rate of more than 50% now in this country, I'm not sure that we can consider that such a wonderful success in that regard. But Ron Prentice, I do thank you for coming in and taking the heat today a little bit. It's much appreciated. Folks can get more information on this initiative. Sure to get more and more notice as we get closer to November at protectmarriage.com. And real quickly, Ron, can you the name of that European study so I can look it up? Do you happen to have that at your fingertips?
You can find it on the website at protectmarriage.com.
We'll check it out at protectmarriage.com. Ron Prentice, much appreciate you sitting in and taking the fire. All right, we're going to come back with our, we got our Green News Report coming up after this. We've got Greg Mitchell and much more ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hunting the source of salmonella in fresh tomatoes.
All we know for sure is where these tomatoes did not come from.
Demand is down, but gasoline keeps rising.
We think prices are most likely to peak sometime at the end of summer, probably at $4.15 per gallon in August.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Since the middle of April, at least 167 Americans have been sickened by salmonella after eating fresh tomatoes. 23 have had to be hospitalized. But only now, as the word gets out, have tomatoes started to disappear from restaurants and supermarkets.
There are three types of tomatoes that we think are part of the outbreak. Roma, plum, and Red Round.
Dr. David Acheson of the Food and Drug Administration.
The tracing process is very active at this point. It's complex because each retailer may get their tomatoes from more than one supplier, and each supplier may get tomatoes from multiple farms.
They've ruled out tomatoes from 19 states and 7 foreign countries as sources of the outbreak, but shipments of tomatoes from Mexico have been halted, and only the current crop from Florida has been cleared. Tomatoes harvested earlier are still suspect. State Agriculture Commissioner Charles Bronson says the industry's taken a $40 million hit.
We really need for Food and Drug Administration to come out and make a very strong statement that we do have safe tomatoes so that we can lessen that $40 million loss if we can as soon as possible.
J.D. Hansen of the Center for Food Safety says this might have been avoided.
Not having inspections, having voluntary, not mandatory standards makes it much more likely that your food is going to be infected with something.
He says the FDA safety net has been shredded. It's doing 80% fewer inspections than it did in 1972. Now this.
The sizzling summer sampler from the U.S. Virgin Islands is here. Now get your fifth night free. Coupons worth $200 towards activities and attractions. A $50 cash card and up to $100 resort or room credit. So call your favorite travel agent today. Okay, now let's sing. And bring the lawyers in too.
Offer valid at participating hotels on reservations made before July 31st, 2008. For travel between May 1st and August 15th, 2008. Restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm the director of a medical center that just added Aflac to the benefits we provide for our employees. It's been a very welcome addition. With Aflac, our benefits package is more like a bundle of joy. In fact, everyone at the hospital can sleep easy knowing we have
Aflac, Aflac, Aflac.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Forget the notion that gasoline prices have peaked. Doug McIntyre at the Energy Department forecasts further increases even as we cut back on driving.
Already includes the first annual decline in demand since 1991. So even factoring that in, we think prices are going to remain above $4 a gallon.
He thinks the national average for regular will top out at $4.15 a gallon in about 2 months. The proposed windfall profits tax on big oil has been sidetracked in the Senate. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that.
Despite the political pressure of $4 a gallon gas, Senate Republicans once again blocked a Democratic energy bill that would have increased taxes on oil companies' profits to subsidize alternative fuels. Democratic leader Harry Reid says President Bush has consistently chosen oil companies over consumers.
The Republican members of Congress have stood by his side, cheering him on, cheering on the oil companies to make more money.
But Texas Republican Kay Bailey Hutchison says Democrats are ignoring the real answer, more drilling off the coasts.
An energy plan that has no energy production in it is ludicrous.
So for now, nothing on energy is getting done. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Barack Obama's search for a running mate is in its early stages, but a North Dakota Democrat who's been consulted says a retired general or admiral is not out of the question. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the story.
For some, the thought of being VP is the stuff of dreams. For Senator Kent Conrad, impossible that Obama would choose someone from North Dakota with its tiny harvest of voters.
It could be you, sir.
No.
Two Obama advisors in the running mate search spoke with Conrad and others to hear opinions about politicians and former military leaders.
Many names were discussed. I'd think probably over 20 people.
Including Hillary Clinton and retired General Wesley Clark. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
John McCain, speaking to a small business group in Washington today, said an Obama administration would mean higher taxes and higher overhead for them. Obama calls that misleading, saying he'd eliminate the capital gains tax for small businesses and startups. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations. Which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Ha! Look at that!
What?
The Nuvi. This is precisely why I subscribed to MSN Direct when I bought this Garmin Nuvi 780.
What is it?
A traffic backup right there on our route.
What do we do?
We avoid it.
How?
The Nuvi simply directs us to the best alternate route, huh?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
To receive MSN Direct traffic content, you must be within its coverage area. For details, navigate to Garmin.com.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. While I'm on vacation, I've left you in the capable hands of Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. Once again, his Bradness.
There we go.
Welcome back.
Welcome back indeed. Brad Friedman. Your friendly, that was awkward. Your friendly guest host, citizen investigative journalist from BradBlog.com, Peter B. Collins, regular Friday guest. You may have heard me speaking about elections and other muckraking. We just, before we get to our green news here, I was checking the website at protectmarriage.com. Our guest in the last hour, Ron Prentice, was talking about European studies. That showed that after same-sex marriage was allowed, suddenly the rate of heterosexual marriage went down. I asked him to cite exactly which studies those were. He said check his website. And unless I'm missing it, the only thing that I can see here is a link. It talks about European nations have had same-sex marriage since the early 90s, and just 2% of same-sex couples in these countries ever bothered to marry, while there has been a 46% increase in out-of-wedlock births. I wanted to look at those studies because, I want to make sure that there is an actual tie, as he suggests there is. But when you click on that link, instead of going to an actual study, it goes over to townhall.com, which is a right-wing website. And there's a column by Frank Pastore, a radio host, who talks about nine European nations have had same-sex marriage since the early 90s and just 2% of same-sex couples, blah, blah, blah. The same thing. But there's no link to the study itself, no mention of what study it is, and you may as well color me dubious. At the same time, New York Times today says the gay unions may shed light on gender in marriage. Writing today, Tara Parker Pope says, for insights into healthy marriages, social scientists are looking in an unexpected place. A growing body of evidence shows that same-sex couples have a great deal to teach everyone else about marriage and relationships. Most studies show surprisingly few differences between committed gay couples and committed straight couples. But the differences that do emerge have shed light on the same on the kinds of conflicts that can endanger heterosexual relationships. The findings offer hope that some of the most vexing problems are not necessarily entrenched in deep-rooted biological differences between men and women, and that in turn offers hope that the problems can be solved. This article does go on to cite the actual study that it's referring to, one, at the University of Vermont, and some other ones that are also named in this article. This is today's New York Times suggesting that same-sex marriages may actually be useful for heterosexual marriages and relationships. So, thank you, gay people. Moving on. We've got our gray news, segment. I started doing this when I was sitting in for my good friend John Scott up there in San Francisco at Green 960. We started doing green news each day when I was filling in for him, and had just so much fun that we thought, well, we need to do it again now that we're sitting in for Peter B. And of course, here's our theme song.
Oh, goody.
It's not easy being great. You don't like this theme song, do you, Desi?
Well, because I think that it actually presents this concept that it isn't easy, but it actually is.
That's Desi Doyen, our green news reporter, and of course my local producer here. But you think it says it's not easy being green, and that gives the wrong message.
It gives the wrong impression. It actually isn't that difficult to change the little things that you do every day. And every time you change one small thing, it's like a drop in the bucket. But when everybody changes one small thing, you get a whole ocean. So it is possible.
So we're sending the wrong message with this song.
Well, you're sending the wrong message.
Oh, not you, huh?
No, not me.
Then I'll crank it up here.
Okay, great.
There you go. All right, let's get right to the green news don't hold up Craig Mitchell, who's coming up after you.
Obviously,
right.
There's a ton of stuff that happens every day all over the world that's green news wise. So I'm going to try to get through as many of things as I can. I mean, one of the things that people have already heard about is, you know, the attack of the killer tomatoes that has been, the salmonella outbreak that has caused retailers and restaurateurs to pull the tomatoes out of their recipes their shelves.
The attack of the killer tomatoes.
Yeah, I stole that from the New York Post. I thought that was pretty cool.
So what about it?
Well, basically, they're just saying that, I'm sure everyone's heard about this, so I'm not going to say much more about it, except for the fact that it just came over the wires that the Florida Agricultural and Consumer Services Commissioner, whose name is Charles Bronson, I kid you not.
Wow.
Charles Bronson says that the FDA has now declared that tomatoes from Florida are okay.
And also those from California.
Supposedly those from California.
I just want to put out a good word for us here in the Golden
California
State.
Tomatoes?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so basically this time of year, though, I think most tomatoes, they say, come from Florida and Mexico. So it looks like they're going to look at Mexico and Chile and some of the imported tomatoes because they may not have the same guidelines that they have, the procedures in place.
So far, Florida, California, that's okay, but maybe we don't yet know over the border tomatoes may not be.
Or any imported tomatoes. All they say, people should still continue to follow safe food handling procedures.
Right. We're going
to wash your produce.
We're going to be sued by the Mexican
tomatoes. I just had to say Charles Bronson, that's all.
Go ahead. Next door.
The Gulf Dead Zone, I don't know if you've heard about this, but it's
Gulf
an area.
Dead Zone?
Yeah, the Gulf of Mexico has an area about 10,000 square miles that is actually considered what is called a dead zone. It's a hypoxic zone. There's no oxygen in the area. And that's caused by fertilizer runoff from agriculture, also from industrial pollutants.
Basically, this is in the water?
In the water.
There's no oxygen?
In the water.
In the water.
And it kills anything that can't get out of there fast enough.
There's oxygen above the water, of course, but in the water,
there's
no oxygen.
Oxygen at the higher levels.
Right.
You know, oxygen is absorbed into the water.
Okay.
But because of, it's actually a chain reaction. So basically you have fertilizer, other kinds of agricultural runoffs. They come even from far, many, many miles inland. They flow out into the Gulf of Mexico, and this creates an algae bloom. When the algae, they have this extra nutrients in the water, this great bloom of algae. Then when they die, the decaying of their tiny little bodies actually absorbs way more oxygen than can be replaced at the normal rate from above.
And this kills all of the other wildlife?
It kills anything that can't get out of the way. So
and algae
if you're a
slow-swimming
fish or you're a plant and you can't get out of the way, you will die. You suffocate, basically.
And you say algae, you said when their little bodies die.
Yes.
Are algae's animals?
Well, they're small.
Are they plants?
They're cellular type. Yeah, they're plants.
Oh, okay.
So what causes this? Well, that's the fertilizer. That's the runoff from our rivers. Now, if you go onto Google Earth, you can actually look and see, say, the mouth of the Mississippi River,
right.
The Mississippi Delta. You can actually see pretty much where any big river empties into the ocean. You can see the effluent coming out.
Ooh.
And that's what causes dead zones.
The effluent.
And the whole point about this story is that this year we will have the largest dead zone we've ever had since they started taking records back in 1985.
Wow, okay.
I know. Isn't that yummy?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yay us.
I know.
Okay.
Oh, also the wacky weather.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's heard about the wacky weather.
Well,
in the Midwest.
Got a heat wave in the East Coast. We got floods.
In the Midwest.
Ten people have died from these floods. I saw there was a water spout off the state of Florida today.
Yes.
And snow
in Snoqualmie Pass in Washington State.
Right, in the middle of June.
In the middle of June.
Other than that, everything's fine.
Everything's great.
Yeah. Right.
No, the actual Florida spout really is not that unusual. It's just cool video. That's why they keep showing it. The other thing is that. Well, no, actually, you took that one from me. You already said it, the snow in Snoqualmie. I was real proud of that.
Oh, I stole your item?
But here's the interesting thing. Okay, you know the five homes that were swept away when the dam was breached in Wisconsin, you know, in the Wisconsin
Delta
Shore area?
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
I saw that. Yeah, amazing.
Well, so basically it was an earthen dam, and it was a man-made lake, and so the pressure of all that water caused the dam to be breached and, you know, wash away those houses. Well, it turns out now that it's pretty much drained the lake. So the lake is now empty.
Really?
And so now the officials are trying to figure out a way to refill the lake, the one that just broke, so that they can save their tourist season, because it's $1 billion tourist season up there
around
the Dells.
All right.
Isn't that nutty?
That is nutty.
Yeah. So let's see. Other things that we have just lost another species. The Caribbean monk seal was declared extinct yesterday.
Extinct?
Extinct. No one had seen one since 1952, so I guess they give it a 50, 60 years to see if it shows up.
I saw
and,
one.
And the thing that makes this particular extinction, no, you didn't.
I saw one.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, but I can't talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So this particular one is important because it's the first species that has been tied directly to human causes. And it joins in extinction.
You mean the first extinction that's been tied directly?
Yeah, that they could say, we know for a fact this was just caused by humans.
What's the cause?
It's just a lack of nutrients in the area that they have. They basically, basically, human encroachment upon their habitat, which has basically decimated their food supply.
Hmm.
Yeah. And the same thing happened with the Yangtze River dolphin, which was also declared extinct this year. It's had lived in the Yangtze River for an estimated 20 million years, but its habitat was destroyed by the building of the Three Gorges Dam and overfishing. Just a few decades. Didn't take long. So. Oh, now you're knocking me out again. Senate Republicans today blocked a proposal to tax oil companies' windfall profits. Now, oil companies are the most profitable corporations in the world. They made $40 billion in a quarter last quarter.
Right.
That's the top five oil companies. And they get $18 billion in tax breaks and subsidies from our government. So Democrats were trying to repeal those tax breaks and trying to say, hey, $4 a gallon gas, you know, you guys need to take off some
the
of this.
The Republicans blocked
said
it.
Said no. Yeah. All right. So that's it. That's
but,
pretty much
you
it.
You know, it's funny how all of those, before the Democrats got a bare majority in the Senate, how they were unable to block all this stuff, but Republicans seem to be able to block everything.
Yeah, they're
Go
pretty
figure.
Good at it.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
Not the Democrats. Desi Doyen with our Green News Report. Thank you, Desi.
You're welcome.
You will see you Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Smartly done. There's our Green News Report here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman in for PBC. We're going to be back after this with Greg Mitchell, editor and publisher and the author of So Wrong for So Long. Stay with us.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
There's a good reason why SC41 Furniture is using all-natural, chemical-free mattress components. A lot of us have asthma, allergies, or trouble breathing at night. We deserve a clean, pure sleeping environment to breathe more freely. And for the rest of us, we want a mattress that we know has no chemical residues or odors. Our natural latex and all our textile components are certified ecologically pure. That's the SC41 mattress. We're so convinced that all natural is the way to go that we're also carrying old world craftsman quality furniture that is extremely sturdy, beautiful, and eco-friendly. And we've developed a line of special oxygen pillows for deeper sleep through deeper breathing. At SC41 Furniture, we have a reason for the things we do. Well, actually, several reasons. And they all add up to a clean, healthier, and comfortable place to be. SC41 Furniture, on 41st Avenue, right off Highway 1, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz. On the web at sc41.com.
Hi, I'm Alan Mella with Monterey Business Brokers. Many people aren't aware of the crucial role that a business broker plays in the buying or selling of a business. Many bright people that wouldn't dream of selling their home without a qualified real estate professional or do their taxes without a smart CPA don't have professional representation in the purchase or sale of a business. A transaction that has the potential for a lot more variables and complexity. I market my clients' businesses effectively, handling all aspects of the sales process, and I assist buyers to find the right fit to meet their financial needs and lifestyle. I bust my butt to put the right buyer with the right business, proactively market my sellers' businesses, and network like crazy on their behalf. People say that I'm a creative and energetic guy and that I take care of my clients. I'm here to facilitate positive transitions for buyers and sellers of businesses. If you're ready to buy or sell a business, I'd like to work for you. Give me a call at 917-3511. I'm Alan Mello with Monterey Business Brokers. Let's make your best deal happen. Call me at 917-3511.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. Just one accident out there right now. It's in Salinas, Fontes Lane at Randall Road. Two cars, they're both off to the right-hand shoulder. An older crash northbound 17 just past Bear Creek Road has been cleared off the side of the roadway. Traffic may still be a little heavy as you approach the area of Highway 68 itself. No stalls and no accidents to tell you about right now. And just a little tap on the brakes once you get to the fish hook in Santa Cruz. This report is brought to you by Parrot Hands-Free Car Kits. Positive Parrot reminds you that as of July 1st, California law requires drivers to use a hands-free device for making calls. Get a Parrot instead of a ticket. Check out the complete line of Parrot hands-free car kits at Parrot.com. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
For you, Des. Yeah, okay. Welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative journalist, blogger from bradblog.com, sitting in for Peter B. all week, except for tomorrow, when he will be joining us from his remote hideaway in lovely Cleveland, Cincinnati. Where is he? Somewhere in Ohio, in the Buckeye State. Peter B. will be back with you Wednesday. I will return on Thursday and Friday. We're broadcasting from KTLK AM 1150 in Los Angeles. Delighted to be here. We've got a big guest coming up. But Greg Mitchell is the editor of editor and publisher one of the oldest regular weeklies. Greg, is that a weekly? No, it's a daily. No, it's a weekly. In this country, well, we'll find out when we have him in a second. He's the author of the new book, So Wrong for So Long, How the Press, the Pundits, and the President Failed on Iraq. You don't say. Hey, Greg, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Brad, how are you?
Very good. You know, I'm delighted to speak to you actually in person because we've emailed back and forth for a number of years since I've been following what you guys are up to, since I discovered you at E&P. And by the way, how old is E&P? 18-something, right?
Yeah, it's 125 years next year.
125 years. And
I've only been there for 118.
Is that right? And I'm sure these last seven feel like the bulk of them. It's So Wrong for So Long. You detailed, and you, frankly, and this is when I found you, you guys were detailing what the hell was going wrong for a long time back there at Editor and Publisher, when the rest of the media was not paying attention at all. Now, all of a sudden, there's been about 2 minutes of people paying attention, right, barely, since Scott McClellan's book has come out. But give us the rundown in general. Where... I realize this is a monster question, but where did the media go the most wrong in this entire affair over the last 7 years?
Well, you have to say they went the most wrong before the invasion, because
we're
everything else
up.
Comes from that. So the wrongness since then, down to the present day, pales in comparison.
Greg, actually, I'm going to break in here. I'm having trouble hearing you on your cell phone. You happen to have a landline?
I'm on a landline.
Oh, really?
Yes, well, I am.
Well, then things are just, well, then speak up.
Let's
try that again.
Okay,
how's
this?
Much better.
Much
go ahead.
Much better, okay.
Yeah.
I was saying that things sort of went wrong early, and that the worst sin was, of course, what happened before the war, because everything bad since then has come since had the invasion and unable apparently to turn back from that. So, I have to laugh when I hear or read that, people didn't know that this was going to go bad or that this was a bad idea, or people in the press just didn't have enough information, or they couldn't judge. They were just going on, bad intelligence and so forth. When there certainly, as you know, there were people, besides myself, an editor and publisher, there were some other people who were raising questions and having these doubts well before then. So when the heavy hitters in the media say that they couldn't have possibly done things any differently, it's kind of shocking.
It is shocking because, especially, again, since McClellan has come, it didn't matter when the rest of us, the actual journalists, the people who were actually detailing what this dangerous mess would bring, when we were talking about it, it didn't matter. Now McClellan talks about it, and like you said, guys like Tom Brokaw, and I saw something you had written over at Huffington Post, I believe, on Brokaw's response, and again, he seems to have passed the buck. He's not unusual there. How did he pass the buck, as you see it?
Well, the media has had numerous occasions just in the last couple months to try to make things right, or at least try to own up to their responsibility. Now, my book goes back. It's really actually the first book that is sort of a history of the entire war. It's a five-year history. It goes back to before the invasion and right up to the debate over the surge last fall. So In the book, I chronicle 5 years of the media failures and being unable to come to terms with those failures. Now, since the book came out, we've had, in the last couple months, fifth anniversary of the start of the war. Mm-hmm. We had the number 4,000 U.S. Fatality. Mm-hmm. We had the fifth anniversary of Mission Accomplished, and we've had the McClellan book and the response to that. And so there have been many chances for the media to say, okay, now it's time to come clean. And I, especially if you want to look back to the fifth anniversary back in March, the media was assessing everything. They were pointing fingers everywhere. They were at an orgy of coverage about the 50-year anniversary, and there was virtually nothing in the mainstream media about the media coverage.
That's right. And we're going to let me jump out to a quick break here. I'm speaking with Greg Mitchell from editor and publisher about his new book, So Wrong for So Long, How the Press, the Pundits, and the President Failed on Iraq. And indeed, they all did. And none of them, or few of them at least, are owning up to it. We're going to take your calls also. Greg's going to stay with us, 888-5-PETER-B, and maybe we'll even call you back over the break here to get a better line. I'm Brad Friedman in for Peter B. Collins. Stay with us.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
We are being tested, people. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas is now a record $4.04. But in Redwood City, California, it has hit the magic $5.
What do you think about $5 a gallon gas?
I think it's going to be tough going forward. Hopefully it'll come down. Hopefully it will.
And indeed, reporter Edward Uranian says Saudi Arabia is now proposing a meeting of producing nations and consuming nations.
Saudi Arabia has told all oil companies that it's ready to give them more oil if they need it.
Except it turns out they don't need it.
Saudi Arabia argues that the oil market has an adequate supply.
Which means everything is working exactly as it should. Now, just to review the law of supply and demand, because I know it's been a long time for some of you. The way it works is, as demand for a product goes up, the price goes up. At which point, demand starts going down, thereby creating an excess supply. At which point, speculators buy the excess supply, and the price keeps going up until grown men cry.
Sometimes it makes me feel like I cry, you know? Sometimes I just laugh, you know? Look, $14 for only not even getting that 3 gallons.
Well, they cry, but then the medication kicks in, and they laugh. Because there's another law of supply and demand, which says, if you want the supply, you've got to pay demand. And as far as I know, there's only one exception to that.
You seem awfully cheerful for someone paying $5 a gallon.
It's my friend's credit card, so he told me that I could fill up.
That's right. Find a friend who is rich and gullible.
I wouldn't come here if it was my money, believe me.
Now this.
In 15 minutes, you could spend a fortune at the gas pump. You could make yourself sick on beef jerky. You could probably adopt way too many cats. Or, in 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance by switching to Geico. There are plenty of ways to save. Discounts for being a good driver, multi-car discounts. You could save 15% or more. But if you enjoy spending your 15 minutes with way too many cats, by all means, who am I to judge?
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast. I'm off on vacation, and pleased to welcome your able blogger and all-around radio guy, Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com.
There can be no doubt that Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
We're resting our case on the fact that Saddam Hussein has developed weapons of mass destruction, has them in his possession.
The real threat to peace is Saddam Hussein and his possession of weapons of mass destruction.
There's a smoking gun, and it involves weapons of mass destruction.
They have weapons of mass destruction. That is what this war was about.
Every statement I make today is backed up by sources, solid sources. These are not assertions. What we're giving you are facts and conclusions based on solid intelligence.
Yeah. The massive and sudden horror.
Massive death and destruction.
Death on a massive scale.
The danger to our country is grave.
Keep on rocking me, baby.
The Iraqi regime could launch a biological or chemical attack in as little as 45 minutes.
Keep on rocking me, baby.
The regime is seeking a nuclear bomb, and with fissile material, could build one within a year. The Iraqi regime possesses biological and chemical weapons. The Iraqi regime is building the facilities necessary to make more biological and chemical weapons.
Keep on rocking me, baby, 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 keep on rocking me.
In his speech to Congress, the Prime Minister opened the door to the possibility that you may be proved wrong about the threat from Iraq's weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, we won't be proven wrong.
Well, they will be proven wrong, but it may take about, 5 years for the Senate Intelligence Committee to finally come out with their Phase 2 report to show not only, of course, were they wrong about WMD, but they knew they were wrong when they were saying so many of those things you just heard. Brad Friedman in for Peter B. Collins, speaking with Greg Mitchell, of editor and publisher on his new book, So Wrong for So Long, How the Press, the Pundits, and the President Failed on Iraq, and failed they did. Greg, if I could just read a short paragraph here caught my eye when I was reading the introduction to your book a few weeks back. Yeah, you wrote, when Chris Matthews, after the U.S. took Baghdad, declared on MSNBC that, quote, we're all neocons now, he acted as if that, quote, all included the press and that this was somehow a good thing. Blindfolding our democracy rarely strengthens us on the battlefield. No lesson for the future could be more clear than the need to take with a huge grain of salt every statement by any official who just might be pushing a cause or covering his ass. Even an emperor or Colin Powell sometimes wears no clothes. Greg, you know, I've become a journalist out of necessity here over these past few years. But the ideas that you write about when you write something like that, that's common sense to me. That's what journalists do. How can it be that, without saying, hey, go read my book for the answer, how can it be that they were so wrong for so long and that they didn't realize it is their job to ask these tough questions?
Yeah, I was taught that right back in journalism school. How's the sound quality here?
Much better, actually. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, it's practically the first thing I was taught back in journalism school, you know, 100 years ago, is, you know, to be skeptical. And I always make the point that, you know, the press needs to be skeptical, not necessarily critical, not necessarily cynical, but skeptical of any official who has sort of a dog in any fight. And yet, here in with the biggest issues at play, and lives going to be on the line, and as we found out, trillions of dollars in money to our economy on the line, they didn't really pursue the tough questions. Now, they have said even in recent days, there was Ari Fleischer wrote an op-ed for the Washington Post this past Sunday where he said, I can hardly believe I'm defending reporters. I'm defending reporters from this terrible charge by Scott McClellan that they didn't ask tough questions. Well, I'm here to tell you they did ask tough questions. Well, even in my book, you know, which covers 5 years, I say they did ask, or some asked, tough questions. They didn't ask the right people. And sometimes those tough questions, or usually those tough questions, got non-answers.
What does that mean?
Didn't show up in print or on the air. You could ask tough questions all day long, but if the answers or the truth doesn't show up in print or on the air, it's irrelevant.
So where were, when you say they were asking these tough questions, Greg Mitchell, and by the way, you can give us a call at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372 if you have a question for Greg. You said they were asking the tough questions, or some of them were, but not to the right people. What do you mean? Who the hell were they asking?
Well, they were asking the traditional sources. They were asking the people, the top officials in agencies who are their, in some cases, their buddies, their longtime sources. We've certainly seen this with Bob Woodward. I mean, we had Bob Woodward, reputedly the greatest reporter of our time, saying even in recent weeks that, he knew there was no smoking gun. And yet, as he said, I went with my sources. We saw that time and time again. Judy Miller. What is every reporter who has gotten caught with not getting the truth in this case, they'll always say, well, I went with the best sources or the best intelligence. But the fact is, if you're going to go with your best sources, you better go with the right ones. And I think the folks from Knight Ridder, I was on Bill Moyer's show last Friday with the Washington editor and one of their key reporters, Jonathan Landay, who did ask the right questions, but they also asked the right people. They went to somewhat lower-level people. They went to people who were not, not the Colin Powells and so forth, who had their reputations to protect. They were not people who were beholden to the top people in the political party or in their for their career. And they were, these are mid-level analysts and so forth who were saying, look, this doesn't add up. It's exactly what the Senate report said. The Senate report said that, there was plenty of intelligence, but the fact is that there was also plenty of contrasting intelligence. And the biggest sin of the Bush people, besides wanting to launch this war to start with, was that they totally cherry-picked and totally ignored anything that might have stood in their way.
They did, and you make a good point in that in asking the tough questions of the wrong people. I guess you can go to someone in the administration, you can say, hey, didn't you guys screw up? Didn't you not read the intelligence? And you can ask a tough question like that, but when they come back at you from the podium, whether it's Scott McClellan or Ari Fleischer or Dana Perino, and they say, no, we didn't. Everything was fine. We did a great job. Then they turn around and they report that, that the administration says everything was fine. Right. And that's sort of where it stops. It's as if we're in this culture now, and frankly, I blame Fox News, and I want to play you something in a bit that was on Fox last night with Bill O'Reilly that's germane to this, but this idea that you need balance. Well, you ask the question, and then you get the answer, and that's balance. There's no follow-up. Right. Am I correct on that?
Right. Well, you can record the answer. You can record their explanation. But the problem was that the Washington Post, the New York Times, and all the leading outlets, again, if you study their stories from the months before the war was launched, yes, you will find critical stories. You will find stories that raise doubts. But they were on page 20, while the scare stories were on page 1. So it's not enough to say, yes, we ran some stories. It was the placement of it. The other point I'd like to make is, and again, the book goes through right up to last fall, so it really is a five-year look, and it's kind of depressing when you think about all those years have passed. And you asked earlier about what was the worst moment in the war. And obviously it was before the war, but the second worst moment was even with all the lessons of what went wrong with the war and the misleading information, the press still did nothing and rolled over in the days and weeks before the surge was announced a year and a half ago. There was virtually no red flags or red lights put up by the press in all those weeks when everyone knew that Bush was going to announce, this is a year and a half ago now, this escalation in Iraq.
That's right.
And despite supposedly learning lessons from the first time around, they still rolled over as we went into what really was the second most important moment of these 5 years, which was this escalation, which we are still in the midst of.
Well, Greg, what happened, and I recall this very well, because at the time they were talking about the surge, I asked the question at bradblog.com. I said, have the Pentagon or has the Pentagon actually done an estimate, a body count, sort of an estimate, what will be the casualty rate if we surge versus if we don't, and so on and so forth. And I was able to finally get the attention of Senator Barbara Boxer, who asked this question of Condi Rice during a hearing, and she was absolutely pilloried for it, and the media all over the place, they all just played along. So even when they, you know, when these Congress folks actually step up and do their job, I mean, what do you do when you've got a media that is so dreadfully bad as what we have? I mean, they can't do it. It is frustrating. It seems like they can't do nothing, Greg.
Well, they another excuse that was given in recent days after the Scott McClellan book came out was that, well, what could the media do? The Democrats weren't stepping up to the plate either. And so it's sort of a vicious circle. They're sort of saying, well, you know, the Democrats weren't doing their job, so we didn't have to do our job. So then, you know, Tom Brokaw and other leaders in the media have given this excuse, which I think...
Yeah, he blamed the Democrats. He said, oh, the Democrats, they didn't ask tough questions either. They voted for to go to war.
But you don't have the media then say that give up its own responsibility because other people weren't doing their job. And, in fact, there was, you know, one quarter of the Democrats did vote against the war. Yet on the media, you had, you know, 19 out of 20 people who were interviewed on the air were pro-war. So you had, even had fewer people in the media who were raising questions than you had among the Democrats.
And frankly, who cares what the Democrats do? You report how they voted, but then you have to report the facts. And we see this all the time. You know, and I see this, you know, Greg Mitchell, I report a lot on election issues. And one of the things that came up after 2004, when I would speak to reporters at the New York Times, ask them why they're not reporting this, they would say, oh, because... the guy who has the most to lose here, or gain, is John Kerry, and he conceded in, right, you know, the first day, so why should we care? And I have to say, no, this was not John Kerry's election. It was our election. Why do you take your, you know, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party is not your assignment desk, but right, that's the way they seem to operate these days.
Well, I have some bad news for you. With all the cutbacks in the media, it's going to get even worse. There's going to be fewer investigative stories and much less coverage of things like that that you might want them to look into.
Well, this is killing us. It's killing me. I mean, it's killing our nation. Dan Rather, you reported in a column over at HuffPo that Dan Rather said this was over the weekend, was it, when he called the media complicit enablers?
Well, that was Scott McClellan, but Dan Rather was.
Oh, you're right. Yeah,
Dan Rather was. I wouldn't say totally endorsing that, but he was admitting that. The media was, by and large, fit that description in the run-up to the war.
Your column, you quoted Rather speaking, in the wake of 9/11 and in the run-up to Iraq, these news organizations made a decision, consciously or unconsciously, but unquestionably in a climate of fear, to accept the overall narrative frame given them by the White House, a narrative that went like this. Saddam Hussein, brutal dictator, harbored weapons of mass destruction, and... because of his supposed links to Al-Qaeda, this could not be tolerated in a post-9/11 world. Now, cut back to your evening news, says Rather, or your daily newspaper, where that White House correspondent dutifully repeats the question he asked of the president or his press secretary and dutifully relates the answer he was given, the same non-answer we've already heard dozens of times, which amounts to a pitch for the administration's point of view, whether or not the answer had anything to do with the actual question that was asked. And then, thank you, Jack. In other news today, and we're off on a whole new story. That pretty much sums up the way the media has covered this disaster over the past 7 years. We're speaking with Greg Mitchell, of editor and publisher, author of So Wrong for So Long. We're going to come back with him for a few more minutes. And, Greg, I want to ask you about this O'Reilly quote. He called you folks up at that alternative media conference fascists, loons, and says you're dangerous to the country. I'm Brad Friedman for Peter B. Collins, back after this.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Brand new accident coming in for Santa Cruz County right now. This is Highway 9, just south of Graham Hill Road. It looks like a motorcycle is down. The driver is up and around, but may have minor injuries. A couple of other vehicles have pulled over to offer assistance. CHP and emergency crews on the way. You may see some slow traffic through that stretch of roadway. 152 near Sprig Lake. This is in Santa Clara County near Whitehurst Road on 152. An accident involving a school bus. The good news there, no injuries. Looks like the bus may have hit some debris, but CHP is working their way out to the scene. Highway 17 up in the Santa Cruz Mountains, we have no problems to tell you about right now. Highway 68 currently checks and stalling accident free. This is brought to you by Mutual of Omaha. At Mutual of Omaha, they have the insurance and financial services to help you prepare for whatever tomorrow holds. Mutual of Omaha, begin today. Now, if you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Experience the magic of Scotland and Ireland without ever leaving Monterey County. The 41st Annual Monterey Scottish Games and Celtic Festival will be held on Saturday and Sunday, July 5th and 6th, at the beautiful Toro Park on Highway 68 in Salinas. The Scottish Festival offers fun activities for the whole family, including great athletic events like the famous caber toss. You'll enjoy Scottish and Irish entertainers, great crafts, tasty British food and sheepdog demonstrations. Enjoy the colourful mass pipe bands and Highland dancers, and don't miss the Saturday evening barbecue. Special Sunday entertainment with pipers and dancers. Put on your kilts, grab your bagpipes, or just come on down to the 41st Annual Monterey Scottish Games and Celtic Festival. Information and advance tickets are available at MontereyScottGames.com or call 831-333-9423.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With the high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
That's our friend Victoria Parks, her new album, Democracy. Another fascist day. Well, that's what Bill O'Reilly says. We're speaking with Greg Mitchell, of editor and publisher, the author of So Wrong for So Long, How the Press, the Pundits, and the President Failed on Iraq. And I'm going to play you this clip shortly from Bill O'Reilly here. But Greg Mitchell, has anything changed? Is there any signs that anybody's learned any lessons? Because I'm seeing the same thing happen all over again with what's going on in Iran. Oh, Greg, did we lose Greg?
I mean, comparatively. Now, again, okay, this is a very, very low bar here. But,
yes,
you know, compared to the Iraq experience, there are a few more negative voices there. There is more, a little more skepticism. And a little more prominence given to skeptics. You know, it's not quite as bad, but still there is the problem, that we're going to have is that the media, the mainstream media is going to largely exclude people who are very critical or very, you know, even experts who are very critical or really doubt the motives of the people involved. And,
mm-hmm.
That's going to be a problem this time around as well.
Yeah, I don't think I see no signs that they've learned a damn thing. And, now, I don't know what the hell we're going to do. I want to play this clip from O'Reilly last night. He was talking about the National Media Reform Conference up in Minneapolis over the weekend. He's speaking with a couple of guests, and just listen to his take on this real quickly.
Joining us now from Washington to assess the situation, Fox News analyst Juan Williams and Mary Catherine Hamm. All right, Mary Catherine. Now, the key question here is, are these just loons to be ignored? And, you know, obviously they're unstable people. There's no doubt about it. But I think that they're a threat. I think that they can do a lot of damage to America, and they are doing a lot of damage on the Internet, in the media. And with George Soros and his billions of dollars, I mean, they want to take over power here in this country. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong. They do want to take over power. This conference this weekend was specifically about taking power within the media. This is a group of people living in an alternative universe and apparently studying in the Reverend Wright School of Oratory, discussing the fact that conservatives have entirely too much control over the media, and that the media is sort of consolidating at this frightening level, they seem to think, despite the fact that you can get any kind of information on the Internet at any time, and that the Huffington Post is regularly breaking stories, and that there's all kinds of things out there for you to access. I think they're pretty wrong on this point. And the fact is that if you get liberals in office who are willing to listen to these folks, and they do drive a lot of money to the party and to liberal candidates, you're going to get things like the Fairness Doctrine and these various sort of statist policies that want to make sure that liberals have their say in the media, even when the market doesn't want them to.
Juan, they want to shut Fox News up, and you've said that many times. I mean, you used to work for the Washington Post, you used to work for NPR, and PBS, and they don't want any dissenting voices. It's ridiculous to assert the conservatives control the media because it's 10-1 liberal to conservative. And Fox News, this is the interesting thing, Juan. Both the Clinton campaign and the McCain campaign say that we're the fairest of all the networks so far in the primary situation. I mean, you have hardcore Democrats like Terry McAuliffe saying that publicly. These people don't care about that. They don't want any dissent. They're fascists, right?
And then, of course, Juan Williams, the supposed not Republican on the panel there, goes on to agree with Bill O'Reilly that, yes, these people who want media reform are fascists.
And loony fascists.
Loony, unstable, a threat to the country. They are doing damage.
You'd never know that the Republicans and the president have a 70% disapproval rate.
No, you wouldn't. And that's
about alternate universes.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, this alternate universe. How does this ever change? That was yesterday. That was not, you know, that what you just heard, that was not recorded, you know, the week after the Iraq invasion or just after 9/11. That was yesterday. How is this ever going to change? It's like two different worlds, and frankly, guys like O'Reilly have the microphone, not guys like me. Is there any hope here?
Well, your microphone's just a little smaller, that's all.
Well,
but
that's a lot smaller, unfortunately.
Well, you know, you have your website as well, so.
Well, I do, but, you know, you drive around the country, you turn on any radio station in the country, you are unlikely to find progressive talk, and I'm not against, you know, having opposing points of view. It's ridiculous. I had the guy who, the proponent of the gay marriage initiative for the entire first hour,
right.
Who's in favor of that. I love hearing other voices, but I just don't know how this changes when guys like O'Reilly can come on the air and lie about it, just lie, and to that many people, and call what, us fascists?
Well, the problem is, you know very well, and it certainly was a big problem in the run-up to the Iraq War, and ever since, was that the spectrum that the media generally allows in terms of experts or people to be interviewed, you know, runs from centrist to far right. With not much in the liberal or even far left category. And, the irony in the aftermath of the McClellan and all the other revelations is what's being forgotten a little bit is the whole what I call media generals or Pentagon propaganda scandal in which, not only did you not get anti-war voices on the air, but you've got these Pentagon retired generals who were trotted out,
working for the company,
particularly
the
by the TV networks, as unbiased, and you know, for every 10 of them, you might have gotten one dissenter, and it was a propaganda campaign. It wasn't even like let's show a cross section of people.
And so that's kind of gotten lost a bit, you know, in this debate. But it's, you know, that's really so revealing. It continues, you know, until recent days. You still have these retired generals showing up all over the place.
Yeah, I don't see it getting any better. I see it getting just as bad. Greg Mitchell, editor of Editor and Publisher, so wrong for so long. No, not Greg. He was right. He was one of the few, if you paid attention, and I hope you will, to his book. It's a must-read, as far as I'm concerned. A must-read for Tom Brokaw, in particular. So wrong for so long, how the press, the pundits, and the president failed in Iraq. Thank you, Greg, for the book and for all you do, my friend.
Well, Brad, thank you, and thank you for all you do.
Well, somebody's got to clean up this mess, so we're all in it together. Thank you, my friend. That's Greg Mitchell.
Okay.
Check him out at editorandpublisher.com. We have a link to his website and his book at bradblog.com. Much more ahead. Jason Leopold coming up, and wait and find out. We'll be back.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at The King of America.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
We're pushing it as fast as we can to try to get answers.
Dr. David Acheson of the Food and Drug Administration on the Salmonella outbreak linked to fresh tomatoes that sickened at least 167 people since April.
The goal is obviously to try to pinpoint the source. Initially, the growing area, a growing region where they came from, and then as we pursue this back, hopefully right back to the farm so we can, very importantly, figure out what went wrong and where it went wrong.
One suspect growing region is Florida, but CBS News correspondent Peter King says the state's current crop, the tomatoes being picked now, have been deemed safe.
Florida growers have already lost about $40 million, so the fact that they are now allowed to start shipping tomatoes again from here comes as welcome news. They're afraid, though, that it may take a while for those tomatoes to get back into restaurants, back onto store shelves, and even when they get there, that people might not buy them because they're afraid that they still might be tainted, even though they've been given the all clear.
Many supermarkets have taken red plum, Roma, and round tomatoes out of their produce sections, and many restaurants have stopped serving them. After Memorial Day, there was talk that gasoline prices had peaked, but they keep going higher.
I'm Dan Revive in Washington. If you believe government energy experts, will suffer just another dime or so till gasoline tops out. The Energy Information Administration has a new forecast that the peak should come in August, $4.15 per gallon, as a nationwide average, predicting weak demand, meaning Americans will drive less than they usually do in summertime.
Crude oil has come down fast after Friday's record rise. Today, the price per barrel fell nearly $3 to $131.58. In the Senate today,
more taxes mean higher prices.
Republicans, led by Mitch McConnell, derailed a Democratic plan to slap oil companies with a windfall profits tax. New York's Chuck Schumer argued for the plan.
This looks at what is excess profits, and then requires that money to go into alternative fuels. And we intend to keep bringing this issue up. We think we're with the American people.
A massive cleanup is underway in Wisconsin. Dumpsters full of debris are hauled away in the town of Ontario, where so much property was destroyed by flooding. In Lafarge,
lower part of Main Street was under 3 foot of water. Included the lumberyard, the truck center.
That's Roger Hooker. His neighbor, Troy Deaver, is cleaning up his place.
Not too hard. It's going good. A lot of silt, mud, but a lot of damage that's going to take time to get replaced.
There's good news from Stockton, California. Three of the four wildfires have been put out, but not before 30 homes and an apartment building were destroyed. The fires are under investigation. Mixed results in the market today. The Dow Industrials 9 points higher at 12,289. The Nasdaq lost 10 points. This is CBS News.
In spring, love is in the air. And so are a lot of other things, like pollen, dust, and that old romance killer, ragweed. So if you want to be able to see the love light in her eyes, or his eyes, make sure you get Clear Eyes Itchy Eye Relief. It clears up itchy, red, and watery eyes, so that nothing comes between you and amore.
Mm.
Want Clear Eyes? Get Clear Eyes brand Itchy Eye Relief. Use as directed.
Hey, Dad, Sunday is Father's Day, which means you're running out of time to tell everyone they can find the perfect gift for you at the men's store inside JCPenney. And we suggest you start dropping hints. Say things like, I hope you get my favorite brands like Dockers, Levi's, Izod, Van Heusen, and Stafford. Mention the men's store's great selection of shirts, shorts, pants, and dress clothes. Or just say, you know, the men's store is a smart place for everyone who cares about Dad to get in, find it, and get out. Happy Father's Day, JCPenney.
It's readily available without a prescription, but can an herbal supplement benefit kids with ADHD? Probably not, reports CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is a daily struggle for Adriana Arjona.
Because I can't concentrate as well as everyone else.
Concerned about the side effects of prescription treatments, her mom tried herbal remedies. St. John's wort is commonly used. Two problems, says Dr. Wendy Weber, who tested it on Seattle area children and adolescents.
One, we found that it didn't work for ADHD.
And she says because St. John's wort affects how the liver processes drugs.
When someone adds St. John's wort to their existing medication, it can make that other medication not work.
This study in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
When state police in Colchester, Connecticut arrested a man for stealing a school bus, he had an explanation. Peter Smario said his friend had been arrested earlier and he needed a ride home. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
The sizzling summer sampler from the U.S. Virgin Islands is here. Now get your fifth night free. Coupons worth $200 towards activities and attractions, a $50 cash card, and up to $100 resort or room credit. So call your favorite travel agent today. Okay, now let's sing. And bring the lawyers in too.
Offer valid at participating hotels on reservations made before July 31st, 2008. For travel between May 1st and August 15th, 2008. Restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm the director of a medical center that just added Aflac to the benefits we provide for our employees. It's been a very welcome addition. With Aflac, our benefits package is more like a bundle of joy. In fact, everyone at the hospital can sleep easy knowing we have
Aflac, Aflac, Aflac.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, a powerful antidote and elixir for the toxins of right-wing talk radio. Your humble host is on vacation. You can call in on our regular toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. So pick up the phone and show some love from the left coast for the man from bradblog.com, Brad Friedman.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
Stuck in the middle with you. For one more hour this afternoon on the Peter B. Collins Show. Peter B. will be back with you for one day only, tomorrow from Cincinnati, Ohio. Then I'll be back Thursday and Friday for two more days of scintillating Peter B. Collins shows. stuck in the middle with you, where I absolutely love to be. What can I tell you? It's great to be here. Thanks for tuning in. Give us a call, as Peter warned, at 888-5-PETER-B. If you'd like to talk about anything we've spoken about so far today, including what my next guest, Jason Leopold, and I are about to speak on, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Happy to have Peter's regular weekly guest join us this afternoon, Jason Leopold of publicrecord.org. Actually, Public Record, but the website is pubrecord.org. Did I get that right,
Jason? Got it right. Good to be
How
with
are you,
Brad.
My friend?
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. Keeping busy. A lot of,
yeah.
Lot of activity.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice right if wouldn't it be nice if there was a slow day and nothing to do?
Yeah.
Remember when they used to say
yeah.
that summertime was slow? Oh, Congress goes on recess in
right.
August.
Or journalists go on recess. There's not much, or go on vacation. Not much happening. But
yeah,
that hasn't really been the case, as you know, with certainly with this administration. And I have to say that as far as lame duck administrations go, I don't think that would apply to this White House.
No,
they're certainly keeping all of us busy, and you know, with the latest revelations and cover-ups coming out on a weekly basis.
They never end, and Jason, to be frank, I think so much that you've reported, so much that I've reported, so much that has so far been ignored, we are just seeing the tip of the iceberg. I think the history is going to show so much more than we know already, and we already know so much. Well, let's hit a few of these things.
Sure.
One, the impeachment. I know you've been covering that Dennis Kucinich's articles of impeachment, 35 articles of impeachment. How's the response been so far from folks at Capitol?
The response is muted in the mainstream media. And I have to say that any time you have a sitting congressman get up for 4 hours and actually read articles of impeachment, it's a historic moment. This is not something that should be taken lightly by anyone. Let me remind you and your listeners that what Mr. Kucinich read yesterday comes on the heels of a scathing Senate Intelligence Committee report that stated that the Bush and Cheney and others in the administration knowingly lied about during the lead up to the war about the intelligence.
And
they knowingly lied. This is not something that they said, we couldn't really determine if they knew the truth. They said that they knew the intelligence did not support their public statement.
And Jason, a lot that material, at least that report, I don't even think that was in, that hadn't come out in time or had it. Is that included in these articles of impeachment?
I'll be honest with you. I haven't had the opportunity to read through everything, but there are some tidbits in there. I don't believe that he has the actual report in there, but I certainly believe, I haven't been able to get the congressman's staff on the phone, but I certainly think that the timing is perfect in a sense. Now, let me also say that in addition to that Senate intelligence report, last Friday, as a matter of fact, you had 56 House Democrats send a letter to Attorney General Michael Mukasey stating, "We want you to appoint a special counsel to investigate the Bush administration for war crimes based on the on torture that took place at Guantanamo Bay." So, my point in saying this is that what we saw yesterday, last night, should be taken seriously by everyone.
But.
And the fact that the response is so muted that it, is shoved in the back pages of newspapers, it's buried on, mainstream websites, or in some cases simply gets three paragraphs, is really says a lot. I think it speaks volumes about the media, and it's important for people to wake up and take notice of that because, it shows that inside the newsroom, you have editors that are basically saying we don't think this is a big deal, and we're not going to give it the attention that it should get because, and let's face it, he's not going to get impeached anyway. But the important historical point about this is that this is going to be read into the congressional record. So,
yeah,
you know,
that's right. And Jason Leopold, because we were talking about that in the last hour with Greg Mitchell. I got it for
right.
So many of these things. It's the media. I blame the media. And you can say whatever you want about Kucinich and whether these articles will go further or not. And I want to make sure to give credit to Robert Wexler for joining in as a co-sponsor here, as he did today.
Right.
But if you look at these articles, and I have to, by way of full disclosure here, I was consulted on these articles of impeachment. I submitted materials concerning a couple of the articles. Articles ended up being, I think, 28 and 29 concerning tampering with elections
right.
and violations of the Voting Rights Act. But so I can also tell you firsthand, I saw them. I saw the detail in them. Whether or not you think they're going to pass, if the corporate media would simply look at what Kucinich has put together and presented along with the sourcing and the footnotes for it,
right.
it's
right.
an astounding body of material.
Absolutely.
Never mind
and
what the political ramifications are, just the fact that this information is there. Do something.
Right.
Report it.
You know what's interesting? I mean, well, a couple things. First, let me just say that, again, this I think that many people are aware that this will, you know, the likelihood of this moving forward is pretty, there's a very slim chance that this will, you know, get to the stage where we'll actually see impeachment proceedings. But my point on the congressional
But you know,
record,
Jason, it might if they bothered to report it. That's my point,
well,
if they bothered to report
that's
that
actually,
detail.
That's,
anyway.
That's totally true.
Yeah, I
but
cut you.
The fact that this will go into the congressional record is very, very important because, as you know, history, you go down 10 years from now or 15 years from now, you know, you look back, historians will look back, and they'll see that in the last 6-7 months of this administration that you had a lone congressman get up and introduce articles of impeachment. And, I think that the media, the mainstream media, clearly they want to whitewash it or just, you know, pretend that it's not happening. But again, historians will look back and you'll know that this happened. And I think that is a very important because it does not let this administration off the hook, in a sense. It actually holds them accountable. It shows that there is somebody out there that was, you know, willing to hold them accountable. And to have that documented, you know, is truly important. Whether or not it goes through or there's proceedings, it's important to have that history, and to, you know, be able to, you know, tell people or to, you know, in 20 years from now say this is what happened. But I think even more than that, you know, when he was reading this, these articles of impeachment last night, you know, what struck me is that everything he was saying was true. There was nothing, you know, he wasn't saying anything, you know, this is a little dig at Kucinich, but he wasn't saying anything about UFOs. He was talking about the fact that this administration lied. They manipulated intelligence. They, you know, launched a war on false pretenses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are definitely high crimes and misdemeanors. And
right.
I dug out an article back from 2003 that John Dean actually wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And the John Dean, the former White House counsel under Nixon.
Right.
And he said back in 2003 that, you know, when questions first surfaced about weapons of mass destruction and whether or not the administration cooked intelligence, and he said, quote, to put it bluntly, if Bush has taken Congress and the nation into war based on bogus information, he is cooked. Manipulation or deliberate misuse of national security intelligence data, if proven, could be a high crime under the Constitution's impeachment clause. It would also be a violation of criminal law, including the broad federal anti-conspiracy statute, which renders it a felony to defraud the United States or any agency thereof in any manner for any purpose. That was 2003 in a column at findlaw.com. That was John Dean. We have that, as I said, that Senate intelligence report that came out last week, which, proves that statement in a sense to be somewhat prophetic.
Well, so, I got to say, John Dean is back in 2003. I'm sorry to say, was vastly misunderestimating just how pathetic our media and, frankly, the Democrats would be when it comes to accountability on these issues. We're speaking with Jason Leopold. We got to take a quick break. We're going to be back with much more and hopefully your calls. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Want to talk about Abramoff. Want to talk about McClellan. Want to talk about this veterans lawsuit against the VA. Much more right after this.
Have you noticed that everyone is talking about being green? High-efficiency light bulbs, recycling, sustainable products that are healthy for us and crucial to our environment. Well, check out the new furniture store in town that is totally green. The name is SC41 Furniture, and it's our grand opening. Our mattress systems are designed to feel better, last longer, and sleep deeper. They're made from naturally ecologically healthy components, like high-quality latex that holds its shape and provides extra support. SC41 also offers sustainable furniture that is made in the old-world craftsman style with no harmful chemicals, non-toxic stains, solid wood construction, and formaldehyde-free glues. Sustainable style for the rest of your life. So if you want to better the environment and live healthier without compromising comfort, quality, or beauty, come visit the new store in town, SC41 Furniture, on 41st Avenue across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Good Vibrations.
Checking traffic on KRXA, brand new problem, northbound one at San Andreas Road, Santa Cruz County. Watch out for metal debris. That's in the two left-hand lanes. Also, Chanticleer Avenue at Madison Lane. We're getting reports of a car that went off the roadway and smacked a fence. CHP is on the scene taking care of things there. Arroyo Drive at Green Valley Road in Watsonville, an injury crash. A couple of cars involved. Looks like someone may have fled the scene as well. CHP is on the scene. Police headed out there as well. You may experience delays as you see police conducting an investigation in the area. We did have an earlier crash. It was Highway 9 near Graham Hill Road. Motorcycle was down in the roadway. It looks like emergency crews have been to the scene, and that should be in the final clearing stages. This is brought to you by Mutual of Omaha. Mutual of Omaha, they have the insurance and financial services to help you prepare for whatever tomorrow holds. Mutual of Omaha, begin today. Now, if you spot a traffic problem, call us up, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
You can never right, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman in for PBC here all week, except for tomorrow when Peter will be back for one day only. Finishing up our last few minutes here with Jason Leopold of Public of the Public Record. That would be pubrecord.org and just about everywhere else out there on those internets. I've been happy, by the way, Jason, to be a contributor of late to your new website.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. And, you know, the stories that you've been working on regarding voting is just perhaps one of the most important, you know, civil rights issues. That's what how I think about it you know, facing everyone today. As you're well aware, you know, I think it's been demonstrated that Republicans will do whatever they can, you know, to try and suppress votes. And clearly it usually affects minorities, poor people. So it remains to be seen what will happen come November, but I'm sure it'll be dirty.
Well, I'm not looking forward to it, to be frank. Thank you for those kind words, Jason. Let's see if we can get in a couple of issues here real quickly before the end of the hour. Abramoff has come back up. What do you got on him?
It's amazing. Again, you know, this report shows that that was released yesterday by Henry Waxman's committee of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, you know, shows that Abramoff wielded enormous influence within the White House, that he successfully got the administration to fire a State Department official who was in opposition to some policies related to one of Abramoff's clients.
Well, knock me over with a feather. Yeah, could have foreseen it? Who would have known?
You know, and in addition to that, the correspondence that took place between Abramoff and Karl Rove via Rove's assistant, Susan Ralston, who, by the way, used to be Abramoff's assistant, is more widespread than has, you know, previously been mentioned. I mean, this is truly... I mean, this White House truly appears to have been, you know, bought by Jack Abramoff and his clients.
But you know, Jason, what will be actually before I ask you that? Let me go on to the next topic because I want to try to get in a few here. Scotty McClellan said he'd be happy to testify on these extraordinary issue, in particular on the Valerie Plame case.
Right, and I'm going to have to say that my prediction on that is that we're going to see a last-minute executive privilege, you know, come into play here, and they're going to try to, you know, block his testimony.
How can that happen? If he says he will do it, how do they block his testimony?
Well,
they get the Justice Department?
What they would try to say is that any conversations that he had with the president are privileged. And even though he's recounted them in his book, let's remember, there are many people out there who have published books and... you know, we're told that they, you know, cannot discuss, you know, what their conversations were about. You know,
but,
people like
but
John
how would
Yu,
this, how
know?
Would this procedure work, Jason? If he says, yes, I want to testify, the White House says, no,
White
you
House,
can't.
White House counsel Fred Fielding will get involved, you know, stating that any,
so what do they do?
Conversations of privilege will block him from testifying, and then they, you know, the House Judiciary Committee would have to decide whether or not to litigate it. You know,
when they
suppose that McClellan could say, you know, I'm not listening to what you say. I'm going to go there anyway.
Right.
You know, I'm not quite sure if there's any sort of arrest that could be made or.
So you're suggesting if
happens in those
Jason, you're suggesting if they use executive, if the White House declares executive privilege on this stuff, that Scott would then go along with it and say, "Oh, okay, I won't show up," because I don't think so.
I think he's going to show up.
Yeah.
But I think that he would be. I do think he will show up. What I do believe, however, is that he would not be able to, you know, answer specific questions.
He would have to be the one to keep himself from answering those questions. In other words, they're not going to send the DOJ over there to arrest the guy, right?
Well, he'll be there with his attorneys.
And the attorneys will advise him?
Before Congress, I believe that his attorneys will be there as well.
Have we ever had a case like this, Jason? I mean, because it seems to me they're going to have to sue or arrest Scott McClellan to keep him from talking.
Yeah.
I don't know what the procedure is.
That's, you know, it's one of those instances where it's, well, he can just show up and say what he wants and then worry about the fallout later. You know, many of these folks are, you know, simply just bow their heads and say, okay. You know, I don't want to give Scott McClellan, you know, a big pat on the back just yet. You know, he did spend 3 years lying to people. And I know he's trying to make amends now, and I think that's something to, you know, to be congratulated for. However, you know, we haven't really received the full accounting.
No, we haven't, and only because I got to get out here, Jason. I did talk to Daniel Ellsberg about this, and
right.
He shares my opinion, the great whistleblower. He shares my opinion that he sounds a lot like a whistleblower right now. We ought to support him. I do, and I think it's going to be a Republican that finally stands up to this administration and testifies. Jason Leopold from The Public Record. Read more about it at pubrecord.org. Hey, you want to go get some dinner after this, Jason?
Thanks, Brad.
All right, brother. Talk to you soon. All right, we're back with John Gideon and Ellen Brodsky right after this.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
If you love KRXA 540, show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. While your humble host is on vacation, here's Brad Friedman from bradblog.com.
Little black boxes in cute little rows. A screen that says touch me so cheerfully glows. No paper trail, a make-believe hole. Cast your vote down the memory hole. Little black box where your little vote goes. Down and down the memory hole. Oh, where did your little vote go?
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
No, nobody knows. Well, maybe one person knows. John Gideon, my next guest and regular guest, John Gideon of VotersUnite.org. Excuse me. Glad to have him with us. He updates us every day at bradblog.com with his daily voting news, and we're going to check in real quickly with him before going down to Florida to speak to the woman, Ellen Brodsky, who's running for John, you know Ellen, right?
I do.
Yeah, she's running for the Supervisor of Elections in Broward County, Florida. She, sir, unlike you, she's stepping up. When are you running for election official there in Washington?
No, thanks. I'm enjoying doing what I'm doing and not being tied to any office or anything else. I'm retired.
Well, and you, God love you for all you do and how hard you work on all of this stuff every day. All right, well, get us up to date here. What's going on today? What's falling apart in the world of elections this afternoon?
Four primaries today. Not much in the news at all about any failures or anything, so all I can do is guess that they went good. However, on June 3rd, Alabama had their state primary. This is for local offices. And won Clarence Bubba Blue. Ran for Bullock County Commission against an incumbent commissioner, Johnny Adams.
This is in Alabama, right?
This is in Alabama.
Right.
Mr. Blue defeated Adams by 271 total votes with the votes counted at the precinct on their in the state or in the county's optical scan machines, all paper ballots in Alabama.
Right.
However, Mr. Adams did a favor for all of his friends and neighbors. He and his family went around and picked up absentee ballots for all of them, for all a bunch of voters in the county, and brought them and turned them in himself. And he seems to have ended up winning with, he got 736 absentee votes against Mr. Blue's 76. Does something smell fishy there?
So wait, this, the guy who came in second place had 76 absentee ballots, and he was the incumbent.
No, 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 no. The incumbent was this guy by the name of Adams, and he Johnny Adams Jr. He was the incumbent. He went and he lost at the polls by 271 total votes.
Ah.
But when they factored in the absentee ballots, he won, and on 736 of the absentee ballots as compared to 76 for Blue.
So, is there anything illegal in the state of Alabama about going door to door and picking up these ballots and delivering them for voters?
Probably not, but Blue and also another losing candidate who had the same thing happen to him.
Yeah.
In the county, have both gone to the state attorney general and asked for an investigation. So I don't know where that's going to go from there, but it sure does seem to me that it's ripe or an investigation.
I should say so. By the way, John, I haven't even gotten to read it yet, but I received a response from the L.A. County Registrar of Voters, the acting Registrar, Dean Logan, your old friend from up there in Washington, concerning, we'll have an update tomorrow at bradblog.com concerning what may have happened when I went to vote last week in L.A. and four of my own votes flipped.
I'm sure it was your fault.
Well, I don't want to give anything away, so stay tuned at bradblog.com for that. Hey, unless you got something real quick, I can take a, I'd love to take a call, if unless you got another item for me real quick. Okay, let's get a quick call. Dave in Eureka. Dave often calls when I'm Peter's regular guest on Friday. Hey, Dave, how are you, sir?
Oh, I so much appreciate. I love what you're doing, and both of you, and I wanted to share my own ongoing thought that these elections are rigged. It is not some blundering incompetence. It is that they were designed to cheat, and cheat they do. That's my opinion. And I wonder if you, Brad, figure also that not only are they able to rig elections, they're also, with their technology now, this Patriot Act equipment, they're able to invade polls. If you want a poll to come out like McCain is doing just about as well as Obama, you can do that, even if he isn't getting 10% of the vote. I don't know if you've had to put any thought into that, but you can rig polls. If you can get into a computer and flip things around, you can make things come out the way you want them. That's my opinion, and I know.
Well, look, Dave, this is what John and I do, you know, every day, is fight for transparency in elections so that when these people do try to rig them, we have a history of rigged elections in this country. At least it's easier for people to see it. That's the problem, is the biggest problem, as far as I'm concerned, with these electronic voting machines. If you want to game them, you can do so without detection. John?
There's no doubt about it. Now they've even found some machines in Florida with worms on them. So, there's no doubt in my mind that they are susceptible to all kinds of problems.
And to be clear, when you say worms, what you actually mean is computer viruses were found on those machines. And, yeah, these are the same machines that they've been telling us for years. Oh, they're impenetrable. You can't possibly get a virus on them. Well, yeah, you can. They have down in Pinellas County, Florida. And we saw at Princeton University that they were able to put a virus on a machine that would flip an election without pass itself from machine to machine and flip an election without detection. Thanks for the call, Dave. Always good to hear from you. All right, John, thank you, sir. You're going to be back with us Thursday and Friday. We'll check back in with you.
I will. Voice of the Voters tomorrow night.
Oh, Voice of the Voters. Voiceofthevoters.org, right?
That's right.
All right, sir. Thank you for all that you do. I never get to thank you enough. Much appreciated, John.
Thank you.
All right, brother. John Gideon of VotersUnite.org. He will have, as usual, as he does every day, all of the voting news headlines collected for you in one easy place. You can read them over at bradblog.com not long after we go off the air. All right. Sticking here to our election integrity hour issue, or election integrity half hour issue, going to move down to the state of Florida here for the moment. Ground zero for electoral disasters. One woman hoping to put an end to that would be Ellen Brodsky, citizen election integrity advocate, founder of the Broward Election Reform Coalition, and a member of the Florida Fair Elections Coalition. She is running. She's my new hero. She is running this year for supervisor of elections in Broward County, Florida. She is stepping up, as we need more and more citizens to do. Hey, Ellen, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you so much, Brad. the belly of the beast, Broward County. Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fine, and I'm just so delighted. You and I got to talk a little bit about this, I think, a week or so ago. But in speaking with Ion Sancho, boy, it was a couple of months back now. One of the things that he pointed out, and Ion is one of the great election directors. He's the supervisor of elections in Tallahassee. He oversaw the 2000 recount disaster down there on behalf of the state. He ran one of the country's, I think, only perfect elections in 2002. I think no overvotes. He's a terrific guy. And what he has said is that election directors are dropping out of the business like crazy. They're retiring. They're resigning. Folks like you, Ellen Brodsky, you election integrity advocates, have worn them down. And now he says they're leaving, and folks, the citizens, the EI election integrity folks like you, Ellen, need to step up and take some of these jobs. You decided to do exactly that down in Broward.
Correct. Are you looking into your crystal ball when you say that they're resigning?
But that's what he has. This is what Ion. This is Ion's crystal ball. And they are resigning.
What we see down here is people, supervisors fighting desperately in the face of election integrity activists such as myself to actually keep their jobs. I don't see too many people trying to resign at this point.
All right, well, we're going to have to talk to Ion and figure out who he was talking about. But look, we've seen, just within the last week, I think it was down in Texas, John Gideon had a story about, I think it was an ESNS employee or salesman who went to work for the for one of the counties down there. I can't remember where it is. So as we've seen folks drop out, we've seen folks come in directly from the voting machine industry. And then, of course, you're familiar with these election officials leaving and going to work for these very same companies.
Well, sure. In Broward County, it's a form of promotion. When they've worked for so many years in our elections department, it's sort of like a rite of passage to go and work for ESNS. So we have some of our former IT staff working for ESNS who actually come back and supervise our current IT staff.
And you're running out here in California. We have election officials are actually appointed, I think, in most of the counties. But you have to run for the job. Are you running as a Democrat or Republican? Is it a partisan
election?
Oh,
that's an excellent question. Well, in Broward County, it is a partisan race. But I plan on changing all that because
yeah.
I'm going to be the first nonpartisan supervisor of elections candidate running in Broward history because I believe that, you know, all voters should be represented without any bias.
So are you running against candidates who are running as Republicans and Democrats and so
forth?
Well,
I'm not. I don't like to say that I'm running against anybody. I'm running for various issues. But my opponent will be the winner of the Democratic primary. There's a Democratic primary in August,
yeah.
And I'll be running against whoever wins that primary.
Okay, so there will be a Democratic candidate. Will
right.
there be a Republican candidate?
No, there are no Republican candidates running. But you have to remember, Brad, Broward County has almost 500,000 registered Democrats.
Yeah.
So,
it's going to go probably, it usually goes to a Democrat.
Right, and I believe that many of the Republicans believe that the current supervisor of elections has been very advantageous to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in 2004, they had a Republican candidate, but when Dr. Brenda Snipes ran,
yeah.
that Republican candidate dropped out.
Do you have a chance now that you're going against a party machine, you think, out there, running as
well,
a
you know
independent?
What? It's very strange that you're asking me, because right now it seems like a party machine,
yeah.
In the sense that I'm invited to many Democratic clubs to speak, but it's generally about election reform issues,
right.
and what's happening right now in Broward and in Florida and different things like that. But I'm not allowed at the Democratic Party meetings to even announce that I'm running for supervisor of elections. So I have a big following of people in Broward County that know my work over so many years,
yeah.
that would normally support me, but at this point in time, they're sort of like split between the two Democratic candidates. I suppose that later on, when we reach like September, October, November, probably after the primary, whoever the winner is, that point would be a very good litmus test to see what kind of support I have. But my aim right now is to slowly, after I qualify, my first step is to qualify for the ballot.
Right.
All I did so far was file, and the qualification deadline is June the 20th of that's next week.
Okay.
So I have to pay, you know, in the good old USA,
yep.
It costs a lot of money to run for office.
It does. Hold the thought. Let's try to get to some of that money. Stick with me here. I'm going to take a quick break. Come back with Ellen Brodsky, who I would like to say I endorse heartily for election supervisor in Broward County, Florida. You can check out her website, runellenrun.com, right?
Yes, it is.
RunEllenRun.com. We're going to be back with Ellen Brodsky. Stick with me, Ellen. You're listening to the last few minutes of the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman sitting in for Peter B. We'll be right back.
Checking traffic on KRXA, brand new problem, northbound 1 at San Andreas Road, Santa Cruz County. Watch out for metal debris. That's in the two left-hand lanes. Also, Chanticleer Avenue at Madison Lane. We're getting reports of a car that went off the roadway and smacked a fence. CHP is on the scene taking care of things there. Arroyo Drive at Green Valley Road in Watsonville, an injury crash. A couple of cars involved. Looks like someone may have fled the scene as well. CHP is on the scene. Police headed out there as well. You may experience delays as you see police conducting an investigation in the area. We did have an earlier crash. It was Highway 9 near Graham Hill Road. Motorcycle was down in the roadway. Looks like emergency crews have been to the scene, and that should be in the final clearing stages. This is brought to you by Mutual of Omaha. Mutual of Omaha, they have the insurance and financial services to help you prepare for whatever tomorrow holds. Mutual of Omaha, begin today. Now, if you spot a traffic problem, call us up, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you. Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
What is wrong? Is clear. I'm not alone. There are thousands of us here. This is my democracy. You won't go telling me my vote don't matter anymore. And is not worth fighting for.
Oh, it is. It is worth fighting for.
This is our democracy. We'll fight to keep.
We're doing exactly that here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And so is Ellen Brodsky down in Broward County, founder of the Broward Election Reform Coalition, a member of FloridaFairElections.org, and running for Supervisor of Elections in Broward County, Florida this year. She will hopefully be soon qualifying for the ballot. We've got just a few more minutes with her. Ellen, I want to make sure that folks go to runellenrun.com. Are you taking donations there to help pay for getting onto this ballot?
Absolutely.
All right. I figured you would be.
I'm also giving people information about my background, so they first can read my background in election reform, and then if they feel that I have given enough service in the past, that they'll be compelled to donate because they'll want to see somebody like me run for office.
Well, let me, if I can, vouch for you, Ellen. I've known you. I've seen your work for years. You have been an absolute champion for election integrity and transparency down there in the state of Florida. And, well, I wholeheartedly endorse you as an election integrity champion for this job. And you can let people know that. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com says that, unless it will hurt you, in which case don't tell them at all.
No, if now, I found the, it will certainly help.
Oh, good. Well, now, why did you decide to run in the first place? What was it that made you say, okay, enough working as an advocate, and now it's time to get in there myself?
Well, like you, I believe in the citizen ownership of our elections. It's essential for a transparent, participatory democracy.
And oh, you've been reading the Creekside Declaration.
I've been living it.
Yes, you have. Good point.
And that's one area that Broward County has been sorely lacking. We've had time and time again our voting system selection being done with no sole source, no bid contracts, behind closed doors, no public hearings. Me in particular, my experience has been that I've been fighting to have a citizen advisory board on elections set up for years to partner with the county in voting system selection, election administration policy. Time and time again, it's been denied by our supervisor of elections, and the county commission have totally delegated as the constitutional officer to her to be in charge of that area. And so what we end up is only information on a need-to-know basis and then and sometimes focus groups.
And they don't want you, and, you know, for all the people who say, oh, all you election integrity folks are you're Democrats, you're liberals, you're running against the Democrats down there.
Yes. The Democrats have been the lobbyists for the voting system for the free S&S down here.
Yeah.
And it's been very, very difficult to have any voting issues discussed publicly in any public hearing. Any other issue that has been happening, like homelessness or the airport or you name it, the environment, has had exhaustive public hearings before it becomes a county commission vote. Voting system selection or even problems with the way we vote in Broward County, it's been a taboo issue here for too many years. And maybe because of the politically connected lobbyists with our commission and with the vendor.
Well, elections in the state of Florida clearly are not all that important. Real quickly, because I got to jump out, but I know that the entire state has now gotten rid of the touchscreen systems down there, by and large.
Correct.
Are we going to be in better shape in Florida in 08 as far as transparency goes because of these new laws?
In November 08 election?
Yep.
Okay, well, at this point, it's a beta test at this point in time because the machines that we're using are brand new. They're not federally qualified, if that means anything. But they still haven't been used in any election anywhere. And the system's latest certification of the actual election software that we're going to be using from beginning to end
was
just recently certified last week.
Are they going to use it in the primary, or are they going to wait until November to use it for the first time?
No, it's going to be used in the primary.
Which will be low turnout because it's a state primary.
No,
so it's really...
I don't think so. I think that
really?
We have very good turnout generally if our votes are counted.
So it'll be a if your votes, they turn out, but whether they count them, that's an entirely different story. Ellen Brodsky, runellenrun.com. Please support her efforts as a citizen election integrity champion to get on the inside as the supervisor of elections in Broward County, Florida. Good luck to you, Ellen. We'll be staying
Brad.
Up to date with your efforts.
I wanted to say that we're having paper ballots, but nobody's looking at them because our Florida election law only has the paper ballots looked at, the overvotes and the undervotes. It's just 1/4 of 1% difference.
You got paper ballots. Now you want people to actually look at them?
And audit them and manually count them, of course. And that's why I'm running.
Oh, my God. You ask so much, Ellen. Hey, I hope you win and you do exactly that. Transparency and citizen participation in your democracy everywhere. Thank you, dear. Appreciate it. Good luck to you.
Thank
Let
you
me know how I can
me,
help.
Brad.
You bet.
Okay, have a nice evening.
You bet.
Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
You. You too. Bye-bye. All right. That was Ellen Brodsky. Help her out. Run EllenRun.com, Citizen Election Integrity Champion. All right. Well, there you go. 3 hours of Peter B. Collins Show. No technical explosions, happy to say. Peter B. Collins going to be back with you tomorrow for one day only from the lovely Buckeye State. Speaking of elections in trouble, he'll be back. He'll be with you tomorrow. I then will be back Thursday and Friday broadcasting once again live from the lovely studios here at KTLK AM 1150 in Los Angeles, right next door to Stephanie Miller's studio. So, and we leave her dirty little notes every day when we leave, so she finds them in the morning. I want to thank everyone, engineer Brian Irvin up in San Rafael, producer Katrina Rill up there as well, John Scott at Green 960 in the Bay Area, where you can grab tonight's podcast of tonight's show, although I'll have them at the web at bradblog.com as well. Thanks, Chris Osborne and Mike Schaefer here at KTLK, Agent 99 for manning the Bradblog chat room, Desi Doyen for producing locally and bringing us the green news, and all of our guests tonight, Ron Prentice, Greg Mitchell, Jason Leopold, John Gideon, and Ellen Brodsky. We'll see you on Thursday. Until then, at bradblog.com. Good night.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A rare strain of salmonella linked to fresh tomatoes has shoppers in the produce section uncertain of what's safe.
It scares me. You know, unless I'll check things now, make sure where they come from.
Problem is, no one knows where the outbreak originated. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes has more.
Each summer, it seems, a new garden vegetable becomes the source of widespread illness. In 2005, it was lettuce tainted with E. coli. In 2006, it was spinach tainted with E. coli, and then green onions. Now, it's salmonella in tomatoes, the 13th case of its kind since 1990.
Did anything change after these big outbreaks?
Well, unfortunately, no.
J.D. Hansen with the Center for Food Safety says the FDA has shrunk to a shadow of its former self, conducting 50,000 produce inspections in 1972, and just 10,000 a year today.
For now, the FDA advises consumers to avoid red plum, Roma, and round tomatoes. After relentless storms in the upper Midwest, floodwaters continue to rise. CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers reports.
Frantic sandbagging efforts continue today in the southwest Indiana towns of Elnora and Edwardsport, with the National Guard fighting to hold back the White River.
Look how fast that is coming up.
There was no time to sandbag in the south-central town of Columbus, where raging floodwater swallowed up entire neighborhoods without warning. Former Marine Andy Rutan
virtually lost everything. You know, three vehicles, furniture. I don't have anything.
Commerce along the 250-mile stretch of the Mississippi River will come to a standstill when the Army Corps of Engineers starts closing locks. Spokesman Ron Fournier is warning barge operators.
We're going to be closing down locks from Lock 16 up in Muscatine, Iowa, all the way down to right above St. Louis. That's going to shut the river down to commercial navigation, so they're not going to be able to go north and south on the river for about 2 weeks, maybe even longer.
Those barges pushed by tugboats carry all kinds of materials, including steel, fertilizer, coal, and grain. Latest word from the Energy Department, gasoline prices